Today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for any of your ideas. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and an incredible 24/7 customer support. Try Squarespace at squarespace.com and enter the offer code SUPER at checkout to get 10% off. It's a terrible day for rain.
Yeah.
It actually started raining.
I think so far just before the podcast started.
It stopped right now, but it could always return.
This is the hottest, sunniest, sweatiest day in Montreal this year. And now it's also raining. So it's going to be humid.
I don't want to go outside.
So
I don't
want to leave. Luckily, we recorded your house.
I know, but I was outside all morning, too.
So we had a great time recording two hilarious WrestleMania episodes yesterday.
What? Yeah. What's WrestleMania? It's WrestleMania.
And,
we had to drop kayfabe.
And, well, what,
it's fine.
We're not on camera.
And,
15 days left.
I'm on the way home, I decide to go pick up some groceries, and then my phone starts ringing, which doesn't happen.
Yeah, because none of us ever call each other.
And I pick up the phone. Yeah, Liam still does.
I call everyone all the time.
I appreciate it, buddy.
He calls the most.
I appreciate it.
And it's Pat, and I'm like, okay, so it's done.
Yeah.
It finally happened. The channel's done.
Pat called me, and I was like, oh my god, the internet blew up, and we have nothing.
I'm on the bridge right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Talk me down. And it's on you. Go.
Yeah.
And, like, you just had three words.
It's like
you had four, actually. You said, yo, Iwata is dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you go, like,
and
no,
was,
hold on, I'm impersonating you. Yeah. You go.
Because I was like...
And I go, yeah!
Because your first instinct is like, oh, what joke is this? Because this has happened
and
before.
And it's like, no, okay, stop. What? Wait, what? Check Wikipedia. Get a second source.
Like,
You know?
And I think my exact words are like, I have nothing for you. All I have is a headline.
Mm-hmm.
Go.
And I'm like walking, I'm fucking... So put everything down. Just squat. In public, and just pull my phone out and just start scrolling.
Just cry.
And all I can find is a bile duct tumor.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
what happened. And I'm looking at my fucking Kirby shirt that I randomly wore. Mm. Just like that doesn't make any sense. I always
I'm
waiting for a world where I expected Shiggy at some point to maybe 10 years from now.
I don't think anyone even thought about his, like, you know, when he was...
Because it always says health concerns.
When he had his health concerns recently, it was a bit worrying, and the last time we saw him in public, he lost a lot of weight, and you can go look up those pictures.
True.
He lost a lot of weight. But I don't think anyone, or many people, actually thought he's gonna
die. Since he just went to E3.
He
wasn't there, but they had the puppet show.
Yeah,
they
me and Liam were thinking they just had the puppet show. Did Iwata appear during it? No, I don't think
The last appearance
was months ago.
He did have the statement, which, fucking, it was the apology for the E3 show.
Yeah, that was
the last public statement.
Yeah.
You know, he actually wasn't at E3 in person.
Because he was not.
In my brain, there's always that thing where it's like, okay, at some point, the father of Mario is gonna die in my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I never, ever would have imagined.
Well, he was only 55.
Exactly.
55 years old. I'm sure multiple of us have parents at that age.
My dad's way older than that
shit.
And he's had his heart explode every year for decades.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm just like, I don't know if you had the conversation with anybody, but, like, I was kind of explaining to, like, people that, like, didn't know who Iwata was, like, what, mm-hmm. like, who or what he was. And it's just like, he's just a joyful face in the industry that is joyless, you know? Like, there's so few people that actually have that much fun and do things where you can actually point and go, hey, look, there was a time when...
I'm holding up a banana and looking silly. Would someone else really have taken that photo?
Here's him being a Jim Henson Muppet and having a good time. Him, like, fighting with Reggie in a Smash Brothers
game.
We lost our shit.
No, just a guy who seems, like, super earnest, who happens to be, like, the CEO of Nintendo.
Exactly, you know, like, you know? And it's like, and at the same time, you can just point back to a time when it's like, Nintendo was, like, they had a bad quarter, or they had a bad year, they lost a lot of money, mm-hmm. and instead of firing anybody, he took a pay cut on his
own salary. It was like 50%, wasn't it?
It was huge, yeah.
It was big.
You know what I mean? And it's like, that's a very, like, it's like a Japanese, like, business thing that happens, but it's like, he did that for Nintendo.
Yeah, of course.
This massive entity. It's like,
you didn't have to.
You know, I just fucking, I was telling Pat, like, that one fucking hurts, man.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
You get, there's deaths where it's like, okay, so it's like a kind of a famous figure type of death. You go, wow, that's a bummer. That's like, you know, he bums you out and whatnot. But, like, I haven't had something feel this shit since, like, Patrice O'Neill and before that, like, Michael Jackson.
Yeah, you know? Like,
Robin Williams was a big one, too.
No,
but, like, this is, like, I'm, like, sitting in my room, like,
well, this was, fuck. Like, this was more shocking because, yeah, he had those little health concerns, but it was, like, that cancer was never, or thrown around.
He kind of alluded to the idea that he was getting better, if I'm not mistaken, like, half a year ago or something.
So, when Pat, you know, phoned us and just went, like, Pat, he's dead, Matt, I just went, like, well, like, by a car accident, by something, the health concerns didn't even enter my mind.
Right.
And the main thing you see in almost every single thing is what I think Willie's kind of getting to, is that, like, gamer, game lover first, businessman second. It was always, like, the reason why, you know, you're saying a joyful man is because I actually love video games, and I programmed them, and I made them.
Yeah, he came from the developer side, not the business.
Some crazy bullshit, like, he recoded all of Melee to get it out in time.
Maybe.
I saw that in his list of accomplishments. He's like, oh, shit, Melee's lagging behind. Let me just program for it to get it out by December or whatever it was.
And there was an interview that came out not too long ago where he was kind of musing at, like, getting into programming again, getting his hands back on the keyboard, because it's something
he
enjoys doing.
Yeah, it was one of the later Iwata asks, which, by the way, you should go back and read if you haven't read them.
They're all great.
So I read them all, but someone put out a count yesterday. There's like 2,700 pages, so you have a lot to go through.
They're going to say 2,700 individual.
That's like five books.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
they're website pages. Yeah, absolutely.
No. When you convert them to pages.
Oh, wow.
That's less website pages. It's more book pages.
I wonder how many hits you would get if you searched for laughs.
Yeah, exactly. Many laughs for
laughs. Most repeated words.
But, like, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to front. Like, I always wanted to meet Shigeru Miyamoto, and I still want to meet him. And Iwata was never on my list of people I have to meet. I'm not just going to make that up because he's dead now. So I didn't really think, you know, of course, none of us thought he was going to die, and I didn't think when he died that I'd have felt so sad about it, but I felt, like, really, really saddened, like really horrifically saddened.
It's crushing, man. Well, it's fucking devastating.
Like, my grandpa died, like, 7 or 8 years ago of a similar thing, where he got lung cancer, and the doctor said, well, he has 2 or 3 years left, and he was dead within 8 months, and, like, it just happened so fast and hard, and that, obviously, we'll never know. But it feels like that was a similar situation. And, you know, like, he's so young, I don't think it's possible to be ready for death at that age. But, you know, I can only hope that, like, you know, he had a chance to say goodbye to his friends and family and stuff before it happened.
I mean,
like,
if there was anything behind the scenes.
Yeah.
That seems very likely.
I just hope more than anything that, like, because he was so young, that he wasn't, you know, scared or anything when it happened.
To the public, it felt like it was mid-stride.
Yeah, know? Exactly.
Because we had no inkling, really. We just had some health issues, but that's it.
The reason why, like, some people feel, like, really, really sad is that clearly he put himself out there a lot. Like, Yamauchi, right?
Yeah.
To me, even though, like, Nintendo's the oh, so cool, like, back in, like, the 90s or whatever, but I still, when I caught wind of him and I saw pictures of him, I was like, look at that evil old businessman.
Yeah, Yamauchi gave off an air of like, a tyrant.
Yeah, so when Liam and, like, I was like, did he die? And Liam was like, yeah, he died, like, two years ago, I think.
A couple years ago, yeah.
And I was like,
he held Nintendo down for 50 years. years.
Yeah, but I was still kind of like, eh, you know, it sucks for his family.
He had retired.
He had retired and everything, but like you said, mid-stride. But
was he not like, Yamauchi, was he not like 80 to 90 years old at the time? Yeah, he was like 82 or something. Like, it makes it a lot easier to swallow.
Like, I feel like, yeah, sorry.
But you never saw him that much. I would see a photo of him looking like really pissed off and have shades on. But because you saw, Iwata fighting Reggie, and because you saw him do directly to you.
Now CEOs become mascots nowadays.
Yeah, he
become
mascots for all companies. Like, he transferred, he went into that blurry space of where he is a real person, who is a totally normal guy, but he is also, in some ways, a fictional character that you kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
Not a fictional character.
Like a
wrestler.
Yeah, like a wrestler. Yes,
he's a wrestler.
There's a personality that's there
that you can seeing. Attach to somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you can feel close to. That is somewhat separate from the real person, but not really.
Yeah,
so it's a reflection. Of
that it can hit a little harder.
And I wanted to just like post something, but I was kind of just thinking for a bit, just going over like news and that Game Center CX clip to me is like, that's the best.
It's good.
The one that I posted on the Facebook where it's just
when they did Balloon Fight.
They did Balloon Fight in that episode, and like and you know, the Cacho has just a very candid talk about him and why he got into games, and well, you can go read it, but you know, it's him pretty much describing like against his father's wishes.
Yeah, his dad hated it.
Who didn't talk to him for 6 months because he chose to go into video games, but he's like, I believe video games are the future. Mm-hmm. And
I helped make Kirby, motherfucker.
You know, like
I'm cool.
He was the producer, yeah.
It's a bad one, man.
Again, shocking.
It's not just shocking that like a well-liked, relatively young guy just bamps that, but also like I cannot think of a single instance ever in which the sitting head of somebody in this industry dies.
Like this.
While they are currently working. Because now we have the situation in which, like, who's going to run Nintendo? Because, like, I don't get usually very emotional about this kind of stuff, but the idea that, like, the new guy comes in and stomps all over the company that, like, Iwata spent so much time trying to safeguard I don't think that's going to happen either, but that's, like, a worry, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, because it has to do with, like, the man's legacy,
mm-hmm.
right? And that he worked so hard to keep Nintendo along these certain, like, not, in some cases, very unpragmatic ideals, because he was idealist of, like, no, games should be fun. We should just make fun things for people.
Yeah. No, I mean, Miyamoto and Takeda spoke out saying that, like, they want to keep it the same way.
Reggie also had a quote just today that was really, really nice. He was intelligent, he was compassionate, he had a sense of humor, and, like, we were still going to continue on his traditions, and, like it was really nice.
There's a great one from his friend that worked at the Shimbun newspaper. God, I forgot his name, but he did the big round table Iwata asked with him, and like it's more or less just like a reflection of how like the, you know, I'll put a link to it in the description.
Sure.
It's really good.
Being said, I'd be shocked if they put Miyamoto there, because if anything, it seems like Miyamoto's like, I want it. That's too far away from game development.
I'm not gonna lie, I kind of hate all the discussion about what's Nintendo.
But unfortunately, I don't want to hear that. Still a huge business, like the Wall Street Times.
Next? It's like,
still relevant.
The PDF said it's like Miyamoto and the other guy are gonna be doing the job in the meantime, and then they're going to look for somebody. But, like, I don't want to hear that shit, you know? I really don't like the fact that that's half of the discussion.
Yeah, well, you always...
Well, that, no, but it is, no, but no, it makes, no offense to anyone's, like, personal feelings, but, like, that shit has to happen right now.
Yeah.
And, like, there's the version of that, which is kind of gross, which is, like, investors going, like, yo, replace them right now, we need money. Yeah. And then there's, like, there's the mix of that and, like, the guy wanted the company to be run in a certain way and busted his ass and took that pay cut and did all this shit and worked his whole life so that the company could be like this.
Yeah.
Whoever comes in, don't fuck that up. especially now that they're in a transition stage to all their new shit.
Yeah.
Like, don't put Nintendo on a path that, were he here, he would go, oh man, fuck that.
Exactly.
I think the most, like, frustrating thing about this whole situation is, like, you know, obviously we'll never know, because we don't know him, but as far as we can see, Iwata never got to finish his work.
Exactly.
Mm. And, like, I know work is work, but... No, everyone should like their work, and I imagine he liked his work.
Like, if he launched a new console or something, you could kind of say, well, he got that out there.
The game plan never came full around.
Yeah, like, I've never done it, but I imagine when you retire, your milestones start ticking off, and then eventually you retire with pretty much nothing left on your plate.
Hey, I did it. I did everything I needed to do.
I'm sure he had tons left that he wanted to do, and he never got the chance to, so... That sucks.
Yeah.
Hopefully people that knew him and knew what some of those things were can push those things forward.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But it just sucks to get to such a position where he can achieve what he wants to and then...
Yeah.
I mean, you know, again, we won't know how much warning was happening behind the scenes, but it's like...
Yeah.
To envision a scenario where it's like they kind of know it's coming and they're, like, talking to him to see what to do and what...
I'm not a doctor, but this kind of thing seems like it. Like you would get plenty of...
There's a couple objective things where it's like the last direct, he'd clearly lost a lot of weight and he didn't look nearly as good. He did not appear at E3, you know, like...
But, like, he had the operation...
Not for no reason.
Over a year ago, right?
But it's just like... But it's such a far cry from, like, death. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, you see things like that, and then you can expect, like, oh... You know, hospitalized, really sick for a while.
Seen a news report that his condition worsened.
Well, yeah. What happened to my grandpa, if you'll let me bring it back, was, again, he only lived 8 months after they said 2 to 3 years, but went to the hospital, and apparently he was gonna pull through, and then less than 2 weeks he was dead from being in the hospital.
Just some bad luck, some
It just
thing
all went downhill. Yeah. So, it can go, like, cancer's super brutal.
Yeah.
Super brutal. And, like, even all the money in the world can't do much against it.
No. Yeah.
Look at, like, Steve Jobs, you know? Look at, like, other examples of this.
Steve Jobs shouldn't have eaten fruits every single day of his life as his only meal, though.
Regardless.
It probably, you know, didn't help. But
saying the money, though.
Pancreatic
the money
cancer.
Doesn't magically...
Yeah, if Steve Jobs can't go cure the thing, we're all fucked to a degree.
There's no any kind of upside, but I can only imagine that, like, if it was something like a car crash, it would have been even more like, what the fuck?
Gunpei Yokoi.
Exactly.
Yeah, what is it like?
Well, a car crash, you don't get to say goodbye to your family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you kind of feel a little bit of, like, solace with the fact that it was like that as opposed to just complete fucking...
Like, that's what I'm saying. I just hope that he got a chance to say his goodbyes, because, like, not getting that is brutal.
Yeah. You guys, you're ready to move on?
Yeah, I guess so.
Alright, well, let's be extremely superficial and talk about our weeks.
Because
that's what the scheduling of this podcast
The scheduling of the podcast is weird for two reasons. One of which is, like, you have to start with that because it's the biggest thing and it deserves that first spot of respect. But also, it's like that is literally the last thing chronologically to have happened in all of our weeks.
Yeah.
So we have to go back in time, which obviously engenders a certain amount of callousness to this discussion unless we wanted to do the whole podcast chronologically. So, like, I don't know how we're supposed to do this.
Well, look, I mean, I'm really glad that this didn't happen
after we finished a podcast.
Oh, God.
Where we might have talked about Iwata.
We would have gone in and recorded more.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, we would.
No, you, like,
we, yeah.
you get on the bus, you get back to the, we all get back here and we just record more. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Like a full week afterwards.
I mean, I was talking to my roommate yesterday and stuff, and it was just like, here's what I want to do, is I want to, once these next upcoming conventions are done, have a little just, yo, let's get together and play his games and have some fun kind of night.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, back when the Satoshi Kon died, like, we had a little Satoshi Kon Fest.
That was right.
We had a little thing, and that was really fun. Liam, I don't know if that was...
That was the PL era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. But, yeah. But,
fucking, oh.
Yeah, so we did something like that. And, you know, I've done similar things in the past, and this, absolutely, I just want to...
Sounds like a good time.
You know, let's just play his games and have some fun, man.
You want to get a balloon fight?
Oh.
Are you?
Because balloon fight is not too far from Joust.
So, it's Matt knows.
It's time for
me
the...
Me and Joust.
It's time for...
That's a symbiotic relationship.
It's time for the argument to come back where I think balloon fight is way better than Joust, and you will fight me to the death over that shit.
Did you ever do the 20 balloon trap?
The 20 balloon trap?
I don't know
trip?
What my record is.
I did it once. No, it's getting 20 in a row in balloon trip.
Okay.
It triggers an orange balloon.
Ooh.
Iwata put that secret in there.
Okay.
You have to get 20 in a row. It's brutal.
I don't even remember enough about the single-player balloon fight to even, like, know what you're talking
balloon
about.
Balloon trip's the auto-scrolling.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I played 99% multiplayer on that because it was so raw. Yeah.
But the answer is Joust is better.
I guess I'm a dumb kid, and then I never played Joust until I was like 15.
I'm pretty neutral on it. It's just that Joust, you're at least like a little cool warrior guy riding an
ostrich. I like the balloon
ostrich.
Kids more than the stupid ostriches.
But
well, either way, man, you better believe there's going to be some balloon fight. There's
going to be some balloon salt.
Yo, Kirby's Dream Course, that shit is going to be in.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
That is such a good multiplayer game.
Yeah.
Amazing.
The Game Center CX episode, that is amazing, because it showed me stuff about Kirby's Dream Course I didn't even know.
Yeah. I don't know if the night, like, lingers long enough, perhaps we can start Earthbound, but that might be a little bit intense.
Start and finish Earthbound.
You know, I'm gonna start with games that are a bit more manageable.
Who's willing to do this?
Exactly. We'll play until you die, I don't know.
But, yeah, you
if
know.
If you're good, you never die.
That's true.
Gonna do it. So yeah, what's going on, Matt?
I watched two movies really briefly. I'm pretty sure Liam saw Kingsman: The Secret.
I did.
Yeah, I heard about that. Sam Jackson's the villain, right?
You guys didn't watch it, right?
Yeah.
It's gone from theaters now, right? You saw
it. Yeah, it's gone from theaters. Okay. I downloaded it, and, you know, it was like, on my Xbox One or whatever. I watched it, and, you know, Wanted?
Yeah.
It's pretty much just Wanted.
British Wanted.
It's just British Wanted, a little more charm. Maybe I liked it a bit more than the regular Wanted movie, not as much as the comic. But it's still really similar. Since Liam watched it, I only just mentioned two parts where I'm like, overall I liked it. Mm-hmm. There are two parts I was like, I don't know about this. Is that like it has Colin Firth, Michael Caine, Mark Strong, all these amazing
great cast.
British actors.
Yeah.
And there's just these two scenes where I was like, this is so... It's when Colin Firth has to kill a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
And it's a scene that I'm not going to go too much into. But it's a scene I haven't read the comic. But it's a scene of people that he has to kill, and these people are so despicable. Like, it's this group that the entire world hates in real life right now.
Okay.
And it's this 5-minute scene of him killing at least 80 people in real time. And I was actually like, this is actually too much.
It was like a spy movie action scene where all the jobbers are running in and they're just getting gunned down.
It's just finally kill after kill after kill. And when I say 80 people, like, you literally watch 80 deaths unfold. And after, like, the 10th, I was like, okay, you can show him walking out of the place that he's in. And I was like, there was something about it that just put me off a little bit. I was like, that wasn't really needed.
It reminds me of a John Wick kind of way.
No, John Wick didn't even get half the body count that Colin.
It reminds me of the big elaborate action scenes in some of the 2000s James Bond movies.
Yeah,
like the special effects are a lot better, so it's way more visceral. But
here's the difference: take the scene from the House of Blue Leaves in Kill Bill. She has to kill the crazy 88.
Yeah,
there's crazy 88 guys. She doesn't kill 88 dudes. She cuts off some legs and arms. And they're all whatever.
Yeah,
and she goes all over the place, and it's a scene. And it has a slow part. And this is just 80 deaths in close proximity.
Right.
And I was just like, there's something about that just rubbed me the wrong way. But it's fine.
It's too much in too short a period of time.
And I really felt like, again, I have to read the comic. I really felt that, let's put this scene in here. People will be like, yeah. And I was
like,
just like,
catharsis.
And I was like, it was the anti, yeah, where I was like, all right, we're done here.
There's a part in Vagabond where Miyamoto takes on a school of about 100 men.
Yeah.
And it takes like 5 books. And when it's done, like, the rest of the story is just about how he's never going to be the same and how fucked he is from that experience.
See,
and, like,
this
the gravity
this,
is never
this
understated.
This has no gravity. He's like, oh, that was crazy.
It's like the Bond movies.
There's no gravity to him murdering.
No, really. And he kind of goes, oh, I killed all those people or whatever. I'm not going to go into it. Yeah. But the other thing is that the last scene of this movie, if you know.
The butt.
They have this sexual reward that the fucking main hero has that's so, like, over the top. Like, are you fucking serious? There is no situation, not even in a James Bond movie, would this happen where the main hero, and he's like a young British hoodlum, right?
Yeah.
He's a hoodie. And this just happens, and he's like, yeah! And, like, a guy watching him on the videotape goes...
I don't mind if you spoil it. I'm legit curious.
He saves this woman that's a princess of Denmark or whatever?
Of a country that doesn't actually have a princess.
Yeah. So it doesn't offend anyone, kind of. Mm. And she, like, you know, spoilers for anyone that really cares, but this is just, like, a dumb gag at the end of the thing. She goes, hey, if you get me out of here, I'll let you do me in the butt.
That's explicit.
And he comes, he fights the bad guy, comes back, and he's running down the thing with a thing of champagne, and then she just takes off her clothes, and the camera zooms in on her butt, and Mark Strong is watching the computer like, yeah, bro!
Wow.
And I was like, okay, Mark Millar, I know that...
Are you for real?
Yeah!
Like, that's too much!
It was actually a little too much.
Shit.
I was just like... The actual core movie, Dear Penthouse. Yeah, the rest of the movie was not like that. It was like some sexually implicit things.
I was going to ask you because the trailers. I remember they set up the pre-spy stuff. It just looks like a dirty chav.
Yeah.
So is that more or less what he is?
No, up until that last final fight scene, he puts on the suit, puts on little glasses, and he becomes a Kingsman. Right. I was like, I would rather him prefer continuing to be a dirty chav because that's more fun. Them throwing.
There is a whole 45-minute training sequence.
Yeah, there is.
That's really cool. 45 minutes. Yeah. It's quite long.
Like, those are the
long
two way scenes. From,
if you like, when you get backstage, maybe I'll let you do a strip search on me.
Yeah, this is like it just stuck out like a sore thumb. Not like it made the movie bad, but I was just like, you could have. I don't know.
You're supposed
to... I know some people really don't like that.
Yoshi Shinkawa puckering asshole on the codec screen. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
And it's one thing if the movie had that all over. Then I'm like, all right, I'm used to this by now. This is the type of thing you're
that
going.
That feels like an abrupt slam change in tone.
It kind of was. And the other movie I watched, I have nothing much to say about it. If you saw my tweet about it, I saw a movie for free. I won tickets for it called The Gallows. And it's about a ghost that hangs people. Guess what? Hanging people, sometimes it takes like 15 minutes for them to die.
Is that the one they were trying to push as like the next Friday the 13th?
On PSN and Xbox, they have little ads that says, Jason has his machete. Freddy has his glove. Charlie has his noose. And I'm like, then it should say, which is an incredibly ineffective weapon in a pinch.
Yeah.
And it's just a bunch of dumb teenagers running around in a school at night, which is a cool place.
Sure.
It's scary. It actually is.
It's very spooky.
But it's just this stupid ghost hanging people.
You ever see the movie Rosewood?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit.
Ving Rhames, big strong neck Ving Rhames. Can't hang him. He survives because that shit's just like, it takes a while.
It takes a while.
It's got a huge head and a strong
head. It depends on the person. It depends on the height that they'll drop.
Exactly. Like, there's an actual ratio that you have to, like, go body weight to this length of rope, and if it's not accurate,
do you know what doesn't have a ratio? A fucking machete.
Right. Like, you know what? You want the neck to snap.
Yeah.
It was bad. I'm so glad that we paid nothing for it. It was bad.
So free was the right price?
Yeah, free was the right price, but I'd still rather not seen it at all. I fool around with Predator and MKX. I love him. He's amazing.
Do it now. Combo me.
It was
X-ray me now.
The only thing is that the Carl Weathers Jax is just so fucking lame. He does two or three little bits.
It's just the skin, right?
No, it's his voice.
Well, that's what I mean. It's a split.
But listen to the detail. Like, you're right that it's a skin, and thus it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
But
they got Carl Weathers to do two bits of voice. But otherwise, he just goes, gotcha! In the exact same Jack voice.
Oh, that's not good.
So for two or three lines... He has three voices. He has regular Jack's voice. He has gotcha voice sample. and he has Carl Weathers.
And then in the middle of it, he just switches to Carl Weathers.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It's super, like, barely anything, but the actual Predator is just, I'm so much more happy with it. Yep. The only thing is that I'm going to nitpick a little bit is that they clearly weren't allowed the sound library for the Predator. They remade their own sounds to replicate it.
But that laugh is pretty close.
It's not the same laugh.
It's not the same laugh?
Wooly.
I know. I'm not I'm asking.
It's close. It's Billy's laugh. Yeah, it's not Billy's laugh, so I'm sure they were just able to get the lightness of the character, not the sound, because I remember the AVP game had all the sounds, like the exact same ones. And the thing of detail I just want to say on this is you have your three variations, right? Predator is unmasked and has another mask and has another mask with the plasma cannon out, right?
Warrior Hunter and Hasuken or something.
Is a Yachua fighting style, right? But if you do a fatality with the mask off, the vision changes. It's not thermo vision. It's the red Predator vision.
Cool.
And he shoots his plasma caster. If you have the mask on, it has the LED targeting light on the guy just for that fatality. The variation changes the fatality slightly. Amazing thing to detail.
And they changed his skull and shit, too, to be a Predator skull.
Every time he does a fatality, picks the right skull of the character.
Because when you beat Molina, you get Molina's skull, and he puts it in the thing.
Yeah.
I think that's also my favorite Ridding animation thing ever. You guys talked about her a little bit, but I fooled around with Tanya as well. And like you said, amazing.
Ridiculous, right?
The dragon staff thing? Yeah. Like you're saying, the pogo stick, like Rolento shit, plus her teleports, plus her kicks. I was like, this is the best character in the game.
Rolento de Capre running a train on you.
Can she do air teleports?
She can do everything. Air teleports.
So you can, like, bounce, air teleport, bounce.
Pogo stick, teleport. Like,
and the three options she has after the pogo thing, they're amazing. No, like, they're so useful.
She's such a good long-term character.
You said she's now nothing, and now she's this amazing character. Mm-hmm. You're totally right.
Yeah. They're nerfing, or they had to nerf.
No kidding.
Because it was a bit nice. But aesthetics aside, Predator gameplay wise, I'm happy that he is not brain dead like Jason was. And it's like, no, he's got traps. He's got some good stuff. He's got one go to combo ender move that you're gonna be using all the time.
The
jump and stab.
The jump and stab is so good.
And so it's like he's a real character.
He fits in
with the rest of the cast.
And he looks amazing. Like, the dreads fucking move so realistically and bounce. Like, it's the best air tech I've ever seen.
Or the shots of, like, the thermal vision on your...
Like, thermal scorpion skin is pretty cool. Fun. The last little thing is that because of the really cool fitness Reddit guy...
They're going to tease Tremor, right?
Tremor's right there.
In
this character select screen, you see him straight on, and I'm like, that looks pretty cool. that retinous, our subreddit fitness guy.
What's the...
I know, I have a calorie count, and I'm sticking to it, and that's basically it, and I'm having way more fun with that.
I bet.
I can eat whatever I want.
Bet.
As long as it's within that calorie
count. I can eat all the turkey I want.
Yeah.
Dude, that's the rule. Just get under the number. Doesn't really matter what under the number.
But started going to the gyme.
No.
Gotta go to the gyme. That's what you actually need to do in addition if you want to break through that barrier. And my first trip to the gyme. First trip to the gyme, I see these other gyme dudes that are going right next to me, and I'm like,
yo, videotape this press, bro.
And that was kind of rough at first. I was just like, I don't...
You gotta get
over this mirror. The mirror's right there.
Face the other way.
I have to. Like,
right behind
There's
you.
There's a mirror on both sides.
Right behind you is the dude like, have you ever wondered? In your comic book reading mind, fucking the Hulk shows up.
Can
you open this? I can't reach you with my arms because my muscles are so big.
Maybe Liam's seen it, but they have these two bikes that are connected, and there's games where you race against another person.
There's these Wii Fit style games,
and I'm like, we're gonna beat each other.
It's a good idea.
I'm going with my fiance. I'm like, that's a really solid idea, but everyone's always fucking on it. And the nice thing about this
one person is always on it.
The nice thing about this guy is that it's literally 24/7.
Yeah,
you just walk in as long as you have a card.
The one near my place, it's a chain, and they close at 10. But the lady who owns it loves it, so she stays till 11. And it's that's practical to be able to go like late at night for like my lifestyle.
So guy is going to I've been there 3 times, and hopefully I keep up with it. Mm-hmm. So that's about it for me.
Well, now that you've broadcast that shit out, now everyone can call you on your shit if you stop going.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's why I said it.
That's kind of why you said it.
I'm not going to not hear Kamen Rider Guy every time you say that. Like, God,
well, what? How do you pronounce that word? I don't know.
Him.
Yeah.
Him.
Jim? No, that can't be right.
Gimme.
Gim.
Yeah.
There you go. So?
So me? Yeah, okay.
What's up, Liam?
I got my copy of the video game R No Surge in the mail. I don't know if you heard of that.
I have no
idea
what that
is. It's like the successor to, not Manakimia, but the other one.
Yeah. I also don't know what that is.
Doesn't matter. In Japan, there was a game that went before it called Ciel no Surge that will never get localized. It's basically a visual novel, totally never going to get localized. It's plot relevant to the new one that just came out here in North America, right? So fortunately...
Oh, that's the worst.
So fortunately, a guy on the internet has gone to the hard work of completely summarizing all the events, scene by scene.
Thanks, internet.
And it is a massive read, and I'm reading through that, and it is fucking big. It's a short book, basically. Yeah. His summary is a short book, so that gives you an idea how big that game is. So I'm reading through that so I can play R No Surge. So this is a PSA. If anyone wants to do that, he is taking them down on the 31st of July, because he is fed up of all the shit people are giving him.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are...
Inaccuracies and bullshit.
People are complaining about some of the ways he types stuff. People are complaining about his formatting. People are complaining about the videos where he recorded the game and completely redid the text in English. People are complaining that it's required reading for R No Surge and... like, venting it at him.
That's not his fault.
And he's upset, and he's done.
Do you not see the big, shiny, entitled badge
that
these viewers have on their shirts?
Yeah, so I don't think he'll ever hear this, but shout-outs to you for translating it. It's fucking awesome.
What kind of game is R No Surge, and what is it on?
It's JRPG on the PS3 and Vita.
Okay.
It's by Gust. A-R space no space S-U-R-G-E.
It's a sequel to Assassin's Creed Unity, I believe.
Yeah.
Arno Surge.
Okay, because it could have been like...
Artanelico, that's the one that goes before.
Thank you.
Artanelico.
That name
I heard. It's like the first three Artanelicos, and there's a space, and then it's Ciel no Surge, and then Arno Surge. And that's a separate series. So I'm working up to that game, but if you want to ever play that game, the great translation's only going to be up until the 31st.
So if you're listening to this podcast a year from now, you're fucked.
Yeah, so hopefully someone will have archived it or something. I know a lot of people are paste-binning it right now, because it's so good, and it's like... I don't want to say essential, but it's really important.
Helpful.
Yeah, very, very helpful. The actual game I've been playing a lot, I got back on the bandwagon, is Destiny. I've been playing a lot of Destiny, actually. So
yes, we spoke about this earlier in the week. You know,
so I played it for like 15 hours at launch or something.
Yeah, you never beat it.
I played a good chunk at launch, never finished it. I picked it up last week because I've always meant to get back into it because it just feels fun to shoot stuff in that game. And so I played another, like, 10-15 hours over the past, like, week and a bit, and having a real fun time just, like, going through the campaign, doing, like, raids and stuff. I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, you've done some of the raids?
Some of the strikes, rather.
Yeah,
exactly.
The raids require, significant investment.
Really hate about the raids is that you have to be with buddy. You have to be with fire team members.
Well,
you
there's no matchmaking.
You can't be... Exactly, there's no matchmaking for it. There's matchmaking for the strikes, but not for the raids, which
sucks.
Because
you just shut up.
Because no reason. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm having a really fun time playing it, and, like, there's no end in sight for my enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
Total coincidence, but the DLC was on sale, so Dark Below and House of Wolves for like $24 as opposed to $40, so I picked that up.
Is it any less sterile now?
No, that can't be changed.
No.
They have done nothing to address that game's sterility.
It depends on how much you like the art and the music, because the art and the music are spectacular.
Yes, but I know what he means. Like, there's a sparseness to that.
Yeah.
That I can appreciate.
They've like fixed drops, and now there's like these big House of the Wolf, like strong enemies running around each area.
Man,
I don't know, it's fun. Like, you don't really play shooters much at all in the first place, though. No. So, like,
hey, Wooly, if you loved shooters and were enticed by the way that I talk about 14 but hate the MMO thing, then I would say maybe you should give Destiny a shot.
Yeah.
But since you don't, like, adore and love shooters, then I would say that it's right in the same boat for you of, like,
don't like, bother. Like, you do have it, and they have improved it, so maybe take a second swing. I don't know.
The image, I mean, I paid for it.
You own it, there, right? Yeah. Do you have a disc?
Yeah, no, digital.
Oh, well, you have it.
The image I had in my head from when that first piece of concept art was released for what the game
I remember that.
Is so different from what we got.
Yes.
Or did you imagine it more like Halo?
Here's what I imagined. I imagined, like, ton of players on a massive server right at the point where the Traveler and the Earth meet, and people going back and forth
into the waste,
fighting
right
from one to surface to the other.
I hear you.
In this massive, insane war zone.
I expected,
that's what I thought.
Unfortunately, it's on PS3 and 360.
I expected the game.
So you can't do that.
Yeah.
Oh. Sure.
I expected the game I'm playing now, 14, with a shooter shell instead.
I'm like, the image, like, I just saw that image, and I was like, okay, well, how do you make, as a video game, what could that be? And
well,
like,
first things first
is facing each other.
Don't release it on old-gen consoles. There's your first step.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that for the next Destiny, they're able to drop the
It's one of those things that it's to be expected. Like, a good example is 11 and 14, where at a certain point in 11's life cycle, they said, okay, guys, the PS2 version, it's not going to get the next expansion. Because, like, the game's, like, 9 years old on PS2, and we can't fucking even make new zones because the system crashes. And they've said publicly for 14 that PS3 is going to get the next expansion after Heavensward, but that's it.
Yeah. Move on.
Too bad for you guys.
It's a lesson that every game that had the unfortunate, like, timing of being right on the cusp. Everyone has learned.
And it sucks, because that's the best time to launch.
Has learned that, man.
It kneecaps you.
You fucking get held back. Exactly. Not fun.
But I don't know, I'm having fun. It's a fun shooter. It's not, like, it's not high pros or anything, but, like, the core game is very, very well made.
You see that,
like, just
thing
the gameplay.
Where they had David Cross in there, and Brian Posehn
to write
a shit ton of dialogue and jokes.
And they spent a day hammering out jokes and shit,
and then like, none of it went in.
Yeah, it's
I feel like that's a microcosm of, like, a lot of Destiny's development.
Yeah.
Where, like, there's a ton of work that's probably just sitting on the floor right now, just not implemented.
It's a huge bummer for sure, and, you know, I hope that, you know, from the Taken King onward, they're able to start.
I think
he's
probably
going to
turn around Destiny 2 if it does.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think they got a lot of valid criticism.
Do you think that, like, the name Destiny 2 might be the dumbest name ever?
Yeah.
Well, they call it 2.
Who knows if they're going to call it that, if it's going to be like...
But, like, the
give
second,
it, give it,
like,
give it a pop.
I have two Destinies.
Well, yeah, of course.
But they will
Final Fantasy 13.
People will call it Destiny 2.
But, shut up. Final Fantasy's the same.
They will likely call it Destiny Big Expansion Name instead you will know that it's Destiny 2 because it will be an expansion that's, like, twice the size of the original base game.
Well, I was going to say that, like, didn't they tell us from the outset that this is a 10-year project?
10-year project that will include, the thing is...
Three games.
Small DLC, big expansion...
I don't expect that.
And then small DLC, new game onwards for 10 years. And those are supposedly going to come out every 2 years.
And your character's supposed to go through all the games.
Don't know how rock solid that schedule is, considering they got delayed at the beginning.
So far they're doing okay. Taken King is hitting the first anniversary.
But that's the basic thing. It's like Taken King is the middle of Destiny 1.
Yeah.
And multiple games, and every game gets 2 discs over the course of 10 years.
That seems like who knows if they'll cut off the discs eventually, but who knows?
Yeah. Okay. I think that when that game comes out, Destiny 2 comes out, you have to be able to buy Destiny 2 and start level 1, and maybe it's a different zone or whatever, but you have to be able to go back to the old stuff with your same character. It all has to integrate because then they're right back to square one, in which you, like, on a basic level, people like me go, there's not enough landmass in this game.
Yeah.
They need to build on top of every single one.
Or you're, God, no way. Like, your career progression forward, just like, you keep certain things, but it's not the same character, you know what I mean?
No, you're, yeah, no. They confirmed that's the one thing, for sure, your character
so,
will move.
So, Guild Wars yeah, okay. 1 did it in a way that was interesting, in which they would say they would put out an expansion. Remember, that was a game that didn't charge fees either.
Yeah.
And Guild Wars 1 invented, like, the buy-to-play MMO format, genre yeah. format. And what you would do is that you had Guild Wars, and I had your 1 to 50, I don't remember the cap, but let's say 150 leveling 50, whatever, experience. Yeah. And then you'd get the expansion, and the expansion was also 1 to 50. There was no increase in cap, but there was new endgame shit that you could do, and new because there was more PvP, just like Destiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what you would do is that the expansion slash new game would be a completely new 1 to 50 experience all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
But now you could mix and match both as you went up your chart. And then the third expansion was a completely new starting area all the way up to the cap.
Yeah, Destiny's doing it more like Borderlands, where like they'll occasionally just bump up the
yeah.
the level with the new DLC.
But I think taking some lessons from that Guild Wars 1 expansion would be
yeah,
a decent
probably.
Idea. Especially with the weird way that their gear limits their progression.
Alternatively, yeah, it could be kind of funny to just have a bunch of people blow through the first like 20 missions. And then when a sequel comes out, because that's, it's just like, I'm strong enough.
One of the cool things actually about Destiny is when you do story missions and stuff, you can pump the difficulty way up.
Yeah,
you can, and like you can see it has like easy, normal,
yeah,
hard,
yeah.
impossible.
So what? So what
you actually can't
would
pick
do
it, it's way too
instead
high
run
you.
The level one mission at its highest difficulty that would actually give their maxed out characters like something of a
yeah.
challenge.
It's pretty well done in that way. But I don't know, I'm really enjoying it, and like again, just like the core gameplay is so solid. The art's gorgeous, the music is fantastic, like I'm enjoying that. Like every time I hear voice acting, I'm like, man, I wish that could have been directed
it's
better.
It's such
something.
A bummer. All the voice acting,
yeah.
it's so sparse
mm-hmm.
and it's so lifeless. Even though they have top talent doing the VA,
yeah, and I don't know, I'm having a lot of fun. I think my number one quirk with the game is I really wish there was no necessity for fire teams. I hate that. I can't.
The lack of matchmaking for raids is absurd.
For raids and for the Trials of Osiris,
like
PvP mode,
it's totally absurd.
You have to have partners
like,
that are like
14
on
has
list.
Some fucking hard ass raids that you can matchmake in.
Yeah,
and sometimes you can matchmake with pugs all fucking day, and you're gonna get nowhere because
at
those,
least you can because
the
it.
Pugs suck. But at least you can play the level.
Yeah.
and learn it.
Like as I'm getting to the point where I'm like, oh, I should go fight Crota or something. I'm like, oh wait. I need to have five other people.
And because of the Wooly, like the structure that like I personally hate and you lamented slightly, is like you go into a map and there's like, I don't know, 10 guys, 20
I
guys.
Think it's 6 or 7 in
on one map
just running around.
And
yeah.
because it's a shooter, like nobody really talks cuz you're not typing, right? Like mm-hmm. in a global,
everyone's just kind of doing their own
in
thing.
In a global chat, you would see it like
yeah.
you don't make friends out in the
yeah.
world.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Like
not.
You do in a regular MMO.
Yeah.
So that becomes like extra tough to like you're actually like required to like, okay, hey Jimmy, hey Dan, guys that
everyone,
I know
please,
that play Destiny.
Please come start playing.
Come
with
play
me.
The thing.
And wait, are you high enough level? Because you have to be
no,
really,
no,
you're really high to get
we,
to the
no,
rate,
now we gotta grind Jimmy up.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know, I'm really enjoying it. And I really wish public events happen more often because I find those really fun. Where you're just doing, like, missions on the moon, and then, like, something crashes, and
if
everyone's,
they
like, defend
if,
it.
Yeah.
Those are really fun.
As somebody
like
who
those.
Plays, like,
yeah,
as somebody
cool,
who,
yeah.
who binge games like that, like, when I played Destiny originally, I know exactly why those events don't happen that often, because if they happen more often, you would see how few there are.
Yeah, no, of course.
You would, see,
like
you would see that on the Russian area in the first zone,
the
there's that one dropship that comes in on the two locations, like, four times
yeah,
an hour.
Yeah, there's only a handful.
Yeah.
They're really fun when they happen, but they only happen so often. I just really hope that when we get to Destiny 2, or hell, even the Taken King, I just really hope that they can make it better, because I want it to be good.
Like,
I love the aesthetics
like,
so much.
I clearly have a fascination and a love for this type of game.
Yeah.
This can be evidenced by the last 2 months of me playing nothing but 14, but there's not enough. There's just not enough there.
And there's actually...
And,
like,
the shooting
and the worst
is
part pretty... about the not enough is there's actually a decent amount. It's just not enough if you really want to go
it's,
crazy.
It's not enough for an MMO.
Like, it's
right.
enough. It's enough to
or
get
whatever.
An easy 30 hours.
You know?
But then after that, it's like...
It's like the campaign isn't good enough to be a Halo game. and the fucking the multiplayer isn't good enough to be a dedicated thing. Right. And the raid quote unquote stuff is way too bare bones.
To me, the PvP thing, the Crucible, is the only thing that comes across as like, I mean, obviously love it or hate it, but like fully featured and like
fucking hate good. It. And that's probably what killed it.
I like the Crucible
because like ideally these flaws wouldn't show up as much if you're bouncing between the three things.
Yeah,
but instead I was bouncing between the two things.
Yeah,
like,
if you're skipping Crucible, then that's a shame. Yeah, that was pretty much
okay. Let's take a quick word from our sponsors. Making a website is hard.
It's tough, dude. I made a website back in the day. I couldn't get the frames to go.
I made several. They all failed.
I made a website. It was just 70 frames. Nothing happened.
Creating assets, making it look good, keeping it up.
HTML. More like HTML. Get the hell out of here.
Oh,
HTML hard.
Don't get me started on finding a server provider.
Oh, yeah. Right? That's the fun shit.
Fucking hassle.
You're trying to make a business site, a portfolio, a restaurant website, any of that stuff? It's not easy.
Call this number.
I used to have a restaurant, but none of you know about it because I couldn't get the fucking website up.
Yeah, and my granola business caved hard.
Yeah, caved.
Well, maybe they would have been more successful if you had a secret weapon in your pocket.
Like what?
What are you getting at?
We live in Canada.
What are you getting at?
We can't carry guns around.
Not guns. Squarespace.
Squarespace.
I don't need a square.
But it's Squarespace.
And what is Squarespace?
It's a simple, easy, elegant solution to building a website that looks professionally designed regardless of skill level.
Wait, so you're telling me I don't have to underpay a web designer anymore?
I'm telling you that your ineptitude will finally pay off.
Yes!
Wow!
You know what? You're right. I never should have learned that shit.
Yeah, what a waste.
I should have just waited for this to come along.
Squarespace has state-of-the-art technology for powering your site. It's got the latest security, stability, and all kinds of support to keep your site online, beautiful, and resilient.
Wait,
from
it has
the
support?
Evils of the internet.
My phone only works at 2 in the morning. Will the support still help me?
24/7!
What?
What you know about that? Not much, because you're asleep for half of that time.
Yeah, I guess so.
Tell you what, they got you covered while you're sleeping.
Yup.
So, once again, squarespace.com, you put in the promo code SUPER, you get 10% off your first purchase, and you show support to the Super Best Friend cast.
Yeah.
What else can you, what
this
else
is,
can you say?
This is win-win-win. It's win for us, it's win for Squarespace, it's a win for you.
For the consumer. Everybody. All of it.
So, all the warriors. They're all winning.
Yeah. All the warriors are winning tonight.
And you can make a website about that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Squarespace.
Thanks, Squarespace.
Build it beautiful. That's the tagline.
That is the tagline.
Hey, guys, how's your trip to San Diego Comic-Con?
Non-existent.
It's nothing.
Due to me not going, it's left me with a deep existential ennui that I cannot escape from.
All it's resulted in is people using that picture of Ron Burgundy and going, like, screw you, San Diego, because they can't go to Comic-Con, because no one can go to Comic-Con.
So I have to watch those fucking trailers on potatoes.
All around, maybe a 4 on 10.
Yeah. You know, I mean, really, there's exclusives on all kinds of merch every year.
Yep.
Covers, variants, toys, all kinds of good stuff that you could just never get because where is San Diego?
I don't even know. It's not on the
map
anymore.
It's not on the
map.
It's the second largest city in California.
I also believe it's pronounced San Diego.
San Diego.
You get over, the map says it's in this general area. We walked over there, couldn't find it, turned around.
We went all the way down the King's Highway. Nothing at the end. Just water. No San Diego.
Well, I got a solution to our San Diego Comic-Con list problems.
Will it cure my existential problems?
It will fill the void. I won't call it a cure, but it might get you back up to zero.
That's all I need to get through the day. I just need something to fill it.
Right.
Fill it with loot crate.
Okay.
Mm. Wait, I think
that'll fit the slot.
Well, you already know what a loot crate is, but for those who don't know, it is a geek/gamer/pop culture nerd box shipped to your house, less than $20 a month, 6 to 8 items, pop culture gear, it's all official, collectible, good stuff, and if you head on down to lootcrate.com/super, and the promo code super, you save $3 on top of that.
That's not a bad deal.
This month in particular,
what's the theme?
after the rollicking, amazing time that was the last Heroes box,
yes.
We're going with Heroes 2.
Heroes 2, really?
Perfect in time. The return for the SDCC.
Where they announced that new Heroes game and shit.
But there's all kinds
right
of Heroes stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got all the best from Marvel, all the best from DC. Mm. You got some Zelda merch in there.
And all the best from Other.
You got some Star Trek items in there. You know, we're not going to necessarily spoil it.
Captain Kirk's a hero.
But it's in there.
But we got the Heroes coming around again.
He cheated on that test.
If he or she or it is a hero, there's a chance it's in this box.
Hey, look, same. It's it. It's a hero.
You know? You mean like Cousin It?
Yeah.
Hero.
And, you know, kudos to Loot Crate for writing that zeitgeist and tapping in at the right moment to bring us comic book heroes right when SDCC is going on.
That's like the whole point, though, right? Riding the zeitgeist.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, once again, that is lootcrate.com/super, promo code super, and you have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific every month to get that month's crate.
Mm, okay. So it's not too late to get Heroes 2.
It ain't too late, but don't wait.
In case you missed Heroes 1.
Because you too could have Heroes 2.
You might suffer from a bad fate.
If you wait. For Loot Crate.
Oh!
Drop the mic, ladies and gentlemen.
It's done. We out. Pat?
I didn't do much, man. I beat Alexander Force 1 through 4, and I can't beat the EX Primals, and I'm grinding in alts, and I'm playing more 14. The game's amazing.
Is that a medical condition? The
Alexander's the raid that came out.
Yeah, I figured.
And me and the guys in the free company that raid, we cleared all the floors, and we cleared all the floors enough times that we all got the drops. But I currently can't beat the EX Primals, which are super bosses.
Okay.
Like, hard modes for bosses.
Okay.
How long until you get... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Tell Wooly about the moon thing.
Okay, the...
Because you like that.
The moon seems to have increased in size since the expansion started.
Oh.
And it has been increasing in size.
And there are main story quests that allude to the moon. And you played FF4, right?
Nope.
Okay, did anyone here play FF4?
Yeah, absolutely.
The lunar whale is visible at certain times of day on certain maps.
That game's finale is the moon.
In FF4, you go to the moon, you hop on an airship called the lunar whale.
Okay.
It's this purple-looking airship, and you go to the moon. And
I thought it was a reference to Bruce Almighty.
Yeah, fuck off. And, like, at certain times of day, way off in the like, way off the map, like, in the skybox, you can see the lunar whale in the distance.
It's fucking awesome.
And it's implying that, like, the next big content patch, like, you're probably gonna go to the moon.
Okay.
I love that shit.
Yeah, I'm there.
That being said, this is the second time FF14 has done the moon is getting larger in the sky.
Oh, really? Did they back it off?
Yeah,
like, just originally, in Final Fantasy 14 1.0, there were two moons. The red moon and the white moon, which is regular. And at some point during the main plot, the main villain summons Meteor, and then the red moon got bigger in the sky every single day until it was like this giant looming
just
fucking
covering
thing
everything
over
yeah.
the end. And then,
I feel like that's a gimmick that you could be playing like Advanced Warfare.
Yeah.
And you look up in the sky and the moon's getting bigger too.
It was cool. Yeah. And then the red moon like explodes, and it turns out the whole time the moon was Bahamut. And then Bahamut burns the entire the entire continent to the ground, and that was their explanation for why for going from
for a
the busted old 14
Reborn,
to the new one. They're just
I love that they had a plot.
They just said
that.
A dragon blew it up.
Yeah.
Fuck it,
dude. The CG thing where you see that go.
Oh, it's awesome. It's amazing.
Well, that was looping in our
entranceway at Ido.
So we've all seen that,
and it was soundless, so we had to sing it.
Yeah. There's that old guy. Oh, he's burning away.
Yeah, exactly.
That guy's name's Louis Swah. He's okay.
Okay.
Now he's dead.
He's so dead. He's like one of the deadest Final Fantasy characters ever because he was on screen vaporized.
Okay. Yeah.
Deader than Aerith?
No. On screen vaporized.
He was like Cell Game.
Yeah, I remember. You got it. He got it good.
How long until you. That's not to say that character doesn't reappear at any point.
Shut your holes.
But.
How long until you get kicked out of the free company?
Never.
All right.
Oh. So we're currently at a point in which it's so full that we're looking, like, we're getting applications to a completely full free company, and I'm just going into, like, okay, Who's the last person to not have signed on? You're gone.
Me?
You know.
I have to kick myself out.
I'm coming in on every day, and if we're at that point, then sorry, no new members.
Yeah.
But there's still a bunch of people that signed up back when I originally said that I started to play that have not played for like 16 days in a row.
You need to lobby to Square Enix to make it bigger.
Yeah, right. Guess what? You know what? You remember you were just talking about how Wooly can't get the Destiny he wants? Why? It's because it's on PS3, right?
Oh, yeah.
Guess what? There's a shit ton of stuff in 14 that is a limitation because it's on PS3.
It's why you
zone in to zones instead of having it be seamless. It's why free companies can only go up to 512. It's why link shells can only go up to 128.
Right.
So you'd have to potentially wait for the next MMO
not the next expansion. The one after they're going to drop PS3 support, and then all this shit will go away. Mm. And then you can have a free company as big as
it'll be interesting to see how much like flexibility they'll have with building larger areas and stuff. And if they'll actually do it.
Well, the areas in Heavens were already like five times the size of the original areas, which shows that they made a lot of progress.
Right.
But, there's only
some... I want to see how far they'll push it, yeah.
You think they're just going to not release content for the PS3 after a while?
They have explicitly said in the lead-up to Heavensward that the PS3 owners will get Heavensward and the one after it and all the patches.
Okay.
And then fuck off, because by that point, that's 4 years from now. That's five and a half years into the PS4.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, come on, guys.
The wake is
over. If you've been playing the game for 7 years, you can afford to get that.
We're not at FF11 levels of PS2 life, but, like, approaching PS2's encroaching life into the PS3 life cycle.
Yeah,
they're not going to kick me from the free company. Why would they do that?
That'd be amazing, though.
It'd be great.
Like, anything where the leader gets kicked out.
Well, see, here's the thing.
Like, a wrestling stable. Like, you can't get rid of me.
No, or just like old Pat goes on vacation for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Fuck you, that's 2 weeks.
here's the part where I kind of ruined the joke, is that because I'm the actual leader of the free company, you cannot kick me.
Oh.
But could they not vote for it?
No. Instead, I looked it up. I looked it up. It's like, what if I just fucked off and never came back? Does that hold the thing ransom forever?
Yeah.
In that no one can make changes or promote people? It's like, no, there's a period of time, I think it's a month, in which if the leader never logs in for a single minute, the number two instantly gets promoted to leader.
Okay.
And if 10 of those guys do that, then it'll take like almost a year for that to get to somebody who's online, but like, yeah. Yeah, so sorry, they can't.
But it's a problem that will fix itself.
Eventually. Like, there's a lot of fucking goofy shit in that game. Like, the problem that won't fix itself eventually, like, the housing market in that game is ruined. Like, private people amass so much money that they buy up all the plots, and then you can't really, you can't sell a house, you can only bring your house off of it, and so... I own like all the land. I say, I'll charge you $40 million for this plot of land, but after you pay me and I vacate it, you then have to pay the game $40 million to buy the land. So it's fucking gross. Like, houses in that game are fucked.
And they're all instance, are they?
What? Oh yeah, they're all instance.
Oh, they're all instance.
And there's still a hard limit on them. Because the housing system in that game requires the most amount of data backup of anything in the entire game.
For sure.
Because players can change all of it at any time. You need to have, like, 10 backups.
Yeah.
So, like, Yoshi-P has said, like, we can't add more houses. It sucks,
because, like, non-instanced housing is the coolest idea, but it's the worst.
Me and you were talking... Did we talk about that on a podcast?
No, we talked about that at our Let's Watch the PC conference.
Yeah, where there's a game where they had that, and it was ruined because people would build houses around areas that were essential.
Yeah.
You just couldn't get...
It's so cool.
Me and Liam imagined, like, an MMO in which the world is really, really large. You need a huge landmass to do this. And there are certain spots you can build a house, and they're absurdly expensive. And yeah, you know what? When you join the game, you'll never be able to get a house, ever. You know why? Because super cool guy, super team, played the game since
they have all the houses.
And they bought the house So fuck you.
They bought every house.
I kind of prefer that, honestly, to the idea of, like, every significant, kind of, like, guild or company can get one. Because, like, yeah, that's, like, because it becomes part of the landscape instead of just existing in this phantom ether. Zone that's off to the side.
In Hammer Space.
In Hammer Space, yeah. Yeah, Beat Alex. It's great. The game's great. Music in that game continues to be unbelievable. You should check the fucking Alexander boss track. It's amazing.
When Cranky was over, he's like, I'm not really into that game, but I do know that it has, like, some of the best music ever.
And going through Heavensward, like, way less of it is remixes of old stuff.
Oh, cool.
Like most of the music in Heavensward is remixes of the two main themes, which is the Dragon Song theme and the Ishgard theme.
Okay.
And they just remix them over and over and over, and every single one is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go on very long.
No,
it's good. Yeah. You guys asked. Oh, also
part of the podcast.
I'm talking about the same game every week for fucking 3 months or whatever. I did catch another episode of BattleBots, which includes one of my favorite matches ever in the series, which is a match that lasts 5 seconds.
Nice.
Which is a build up between two robots, which on paper look like it's going to be like, because their weapons are incompatible with each other's designs.
So it could go on forever.
And you're like, how is this? And, like, the one just drives forward and instantly kills.
This is a kill box.
There is a 15-minute interview. And
Wall-E versus, like, Devastator.
Like, there's a 15-minute, like, interview build-up, like, montage kind of thing with both builders. And, like, how are we going to do it? And then the match is over. Like, fucking that.
That's cool.
And they're smart in the way they structure that show, because if the structure of BattleBots, the show, was rigid, and it was like, here's the pre-fight thing, and here's a match, mm-hmm. and here's the second pre-fight thing, and here's a match,
mm-hmm.
then you would always be able to tell how one-sided the match would be by how long they spend in the,
right.
in the pre-fight
thing.
So if
it's really short, you'd expect the match to be over in 5 seconds.
Right.
Yeah.
But instead what they do is they cater it. It's like, if there are some matches that are instant victories, they put more matches in the episode.
There you go.
And they never say instant what's coming victory. Up. They always say, later tonight, they'll beat this.
That's a good balance.
But there might be another one after it, so and the worry that I had watching the first two in terms of, like, don't put only spotlights on the winners. Yeah, absolutely, they are not falling into that trap.
Mm.
Like, you cannot tell who's.
It'd be funny if they literally run out of matches, so to buy time, they just have bikinis on these clunky robots, and they're like the ring girls, and they do a dumb dance.
Bikini
and just,
bots.
This isn't doing it for me.
That would be great. Put Razor.
Do you know what bikini. I want to see? I want to see backstage vignettes with the robots just bumping into each other. Like, you've totally disrespected me. We'll see you in the ring.
Microsoft's cutting promos.
Like,
Microsoft sound voices.
Like, exactly. The third one so far is great, because there's what I've been wanting to see in BattleBots for years, and it's it's a robot that is so poorly designed that the instant it touches another robot with its weapon, it breaks itself.
Yeah,
because the forces and the welding that went into the idea means
body.
That its own weapon will always destroy itself after
That's
a single
sick.
Strike.
Good.
It's fucking great.
I like
awesome.
That.
What about you, Wolves? What are you doing?
I spent a lot of time playing.
Playing Final Fantasy XIV?
Yeah, certainly. Right,
hey, did you know that if I recruit you and you pay for a full month after your free trial is over, I get a shiny dragon at the end of July? You should do that.
I should do that?
Yeah.
Why don't you just do it yourself?
That's
Could
too much.
That's the line.
So you want the dragon, but
I'm
not enough to pay
line.
For it. I want the shiny dragon. I'm not going to pay, like, $180 for a shiny dragon. I'm going to get somebody else to play the game and pay that money for me so I get the shiny dragon.
I like how you're saying that with your mouth facing the mic. Anyway, I spent most of my week playing something I can't really talk about right now.
Yeah,
so
that's for an LP.
Whatever.
Secrets.
But,
yes.
In a way, though, I can talk about the fact that Sony needs to get their shit together as far as getting the PSN store to be good on everything.
Yeah,
yes.
You had a weird issue that I never encountered.
Oh, it's
this?
It's
yeah.
fucking
You're
garbage.
Right, Wooly. You're super
All
right.
All I know is that when I booted up Predator, Batman was still downloading.
Yeah.
Because you never finished the download.
Yeah. But
that's totally your fault.
But it should have been done initially.
Look, all I wanted
is 50 gigabytes.
All I wanted, was to grab money from my PayPal and put it on my wallet on my PSTV, and I couldn't do it.
The Vita because storefront does not support PayPal.
You go to PSN on the thing, and it's like it's just not an option. It's credit card only. And I'm like, but I already have an associated PayPal.
And also, we all, like most of us, have had an issue in which Sony tells our credit cards to go fuck themselves.
So, right.
I've never
so
had
I
that.
Go, well, really? Fuck
it. I had it, but it was my fault.
So I go, this sucks. I don't know why I can't use an entire, like there's like three methods of payment that are not there on the Vita storefront,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I jump on the computer, just go to the website.
That's what I've been doing for, like, over a year.
And I just go to the wallet thing on the Sony Online Entertainment thing and go, like, okay, add PayPal money, go. And then I go to do it, and it's like, your credit card's not valid. I'm like, no, I said PayPal. Because your credit card's not valid.
I've never encountered that issue.
Stop
That's
trying
crazy.
To do that.
Yeah.
Remove my account, clean everything off, re-add my PayPal, just my PayPal, your credit card's not valid. Fuck this. I boot up my fucking PS4... And I have to go add money on my wallet on the PS4 because that's the only console I own that has a working wallet.
This is so dumb.
That I can then use on every other console I have.
Yeah, PSN's not great. It's better than it was on PS3. And they're adding features, but they're still not to where Live was when the 360 launched.
Yeah.
It's only maybe you can join that weird movement that I don't understand.
Improve PSN, please.
Like, make... Like, what was it? It's got some really pretentious
PSN hashtag. The
better PSN.
Better PSN.
It's just weird.
It's just a service.
That movement seems a little extreme, but they're right. They do need to improve PSN.
Yeah, but
there's aspects
a
of it that are weak, for sure.
Because it's just like, completely different levels of functionality on every device.
We'll get to that later.
Old-fashioned.
You know?
And I'm like,
God damn it, man. Come on, guys.
It's odd, for sure.
For a company that wanted its storefront to be unified, it's like the least unified storefront I've ever seen, ever. It's
all
crazy.
I know is that I downloaded the Godzilla dynamic theme. Dynamic themes are the fucking coolest shit ever.
Yeah.
Everyone should have a dynamic theme.
You gotta look up the PS3 dynamic theme called Corn Love. It's the best one ever.
I don't think I'll switch.
Is that a custom firmware?
It's a custom theme you can buy on PSN.
Okay.
And it is for lovers of corn.
Okay. Okay. I'm gonna be listening to Kyrie singing until my console dies.
Yeah, you guys both have the DMC4 one going. Yeah.
I'm not playing it on that console, but
no,
I don't care.
The theme's still good.
Yeah.
Kyrie's got some pipes.
Yeah,
the transistor one's good for you.
Transistor one's real good, the
Bloodborne one's real good.
Oh, I gotta get the transistor one, I gotta get that one.
Yeah.
I also like to continue complaining.
Yeah, complain, man.
We
I love it.
This week was the week that Fantasia Festival tickets
went on sale. I was
going to
mention this, but I was like, no.
This does have something to do with video games if you let it.
So, exactly. You're right.
Come along with us for a moment.
Fantasia Festival is it's an Asian movie, foreign genre.
Do preface it with why these people have this privilege.
Yes, of course.
Because there is a good reason.
No, totally. But it just sucks.
Just because I know some people just complain about it, and it's like,
Let's dive in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really simple in that every year there's a ton of really cool movies that premiere at it. So.
It's where Wooly and I saw Postal at the world premiere.
It's where we all saw
Samurai fucking Cop.
It's where we saw Singham.
Yeah. And it's also where they debuted
the Ace Attorney movie.
World's End.
A lot of Edgar Wright movies.
And, like pretty much every Edgar Wright movie, Scott Pilgrim.
Did you get to see Scott Pilgrim? I can't remember. No.
I didn't get in.
Was Guardians there last year?
Guardians was there last year.
This year's Ant-Man.
Prior to theatrical release. So this year, exactly, Liam. It's Ant-Man. And the other big docket is, the other big thing ticket is Attack on Titan live action.
Yeah.
It's at the end of the festival.
Exactly. So, you know, high profile movies every year and whatnot. So the way it generally works is, I've been doing this fucking like over a decade now.
Me too.
The moment it goes on sale, which is always at 1 p.m. on whatever day it goes on, you drop whatever you're doing.
Go down to the university.
Or get on the phone and also have another phone to go on the website. And start browsing to buy tickets because you use any means possible because you have like seconds.
Yes, right? A small window.
And
the only thing worse is if there is you had to do this while a guy had a gun to your head and there was someone...
Giving you a blowjob under the counter.
Get your tickets, motherfucker!
It's the only way.
You need to get 40 tickets for Attack on Titan.
Exactly. So, you know, I queue up the everything, get ready to do the blitz as usual. Though this year there's some website shenanigans where, like, if you click reserve on one ticket, then... Like, it carries over to every other tab you have open type of thing. Whatever, that's a whole other issue.
Tabs, so.
The point and the problem is Fantasia is sponsored by Ubisoft.
They are the prime sponsor. They make it happen.
And Ubisoft has thousands of employees.
Yeah.
And certain individual movies are, like, presented by Ubisoft. It's usually anime. It's usually Asian-y movies.
One of the perks of being a Ubisoft employee is that you get first dibs on these tickets.
Mm-hmm. Way before they go on sale.
What ends up happening is a lot of Ubisoft employees then sort of choose to... What we call Ubi Bomb movies.
They collude.
They all get together and go, we're all going to go see this, we're all going to go see that. And what ends up happening is basically the movie becomes more or less sold out prior to even going on sale. Mm. It turns the movie into a private screening.
Mm.
You know? So this has been happening for years, and people are kind of just like, why even advertise that this is coming?
Sounds like you guys should have gone to work for Ubi instead of Eidos.
Right?
Yeah.
For the benefit of
But traditionally, for these Ubisoft-sponsored movies, it's always, like, something kind of interesting or whatever, but it's this year...
No. It's not just saying the Ubisoft-sponsored movies, but the bombing happens every year on one of the big ones, every time.
It hasn't always been big ones, it's just this year... It just happens to be Attack on Titan live action, which no one's seen yet, like, on this continent. So just to me, it seems like that was just the perfect storm.
I know for sure in the past, like, they've done it to others. But anyway, the point is that, yeah, this year they did it for Attack on Titan.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, well, fuck, right? Because it's not that there's no public tickets available, but there's, like, a fraction. Like,
yeah. There's some.
It's incredibly difficult to get a ticket.
I feel like less than a third.
They're floating around in the ether, these tickets that you can get.
Yeah.
Because remember, Ubisoft employees that, like, because they can't obviously give all the tickets to the sponsors, but that doesn't stop the Ubi employees for also blitzing the line and the website.
Certainly.
Like, in addition,
there's no Ubisoft people in that 5-hour line.
Yeah, well,
I mean, hey, look, I'm not saying that like it makes no sense to have that perk when you're a sponsor of the festival.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
But I was saying to you,
it's creating an issue when the public doesn't have access.
I was saying
to
you, don't even advertise the movie yet. Let Ubisoft get all their tickets, whatever they want. I don't care.
And announce
then
that
advertise,
we
advertise. Now we are selling tickets for this new movie. You have 3 days, and then they'll go on sale in 3 days. So you build a little bit of hype, and everyone gets their tickets.
No, here's
yeah, but you don't limited. Have hype unless you have a
no. Here's
on
here's the actual solution
right,
to this problem.
Even if you
say,
lie about it,
Scott
it gets
Pilgrim was
excited.
Added late to the game.
It was,
yeah,
and that we lost our minds and we never got
well,
to
did,
it.
Did you see they're trying to get a second show
yeah,
for Attack
well,
on Titan,
right now
but they were only okay for one.
Exactly. Right now the Facebook page is blowing up.
You want the actual solution to this problem? You give Ubi all their promo tickets that they all have the right to get because they're sponsored. Say then you're left with, let's ballpark it at a third of remaining tickets, right? You then sell those tickets and then give them away to people who are willing to buy them via lottery. You do it just how we do hockey tickets. You do it how all sports things are done everywhere because... Instead of giving it to the people that got in within 1 second and their browser didn't happen to crash, at least you have a shot. At least you feel like you have a shot of getting it in. And a formal lottery is a hell of a lot better than the site crashing lottery that you all play instead.
First of all, I think going physically to go down is stupid. Why would anyone even do that anymore? I don't even understand.
Because this year
they specifically said
this is to cherry on top the story. They take half of the remaining seats and lock them into in-person purchases only, and half are online.
So, Wooly,
so people in line do have a shot, quote-unquote, but you have less
don't.
Of a shot because you have half of
why
the
would you, yeah, half
you have just
online.
A good a shot as you do online.
Now,
so, Wooly, you probably have a better shot because you're less
if you get there early.
Your blitz should include to do all those things while
in
you
line.
Are in line.
The point is, and this is how it has worked in the past, is website... Calling on the phone, standing in line, do two of the three things at the same time.
No, now you have to do all three.
I remember the 1 year where I called on the phone, and that was the only year I called on the phone. Because imagine that.
Yeah.
I want to see Amazing Nurse Nunchaku-chan, and what? How do you spell
it? I've done it on the phone before.
It's the worst.
And I've gotten into some high demand shit by just hammering the phone.
For people that are a little confused, the reason why this is an issue is because this is primarily playing in a auditorium-style theater that has 900 seats. So this is why this is even an issue. How can there be such demand? Because there's, like, a lot of seats, but it's usually one showing only. Mm-hmm. And if you're lucky, you get a second one if they kind of feel that they can squeeze out more
money. What I was proposing to Matt is that what needs to happen is you start working at Ubisoft as a work.
Yeah.
Just to get the tickets.
Yeah. I'm like, but do you actually have to work at your workstation?
Every once in a while.
Here's what you do. You go in person, right? Matt, you guys go in person.
Right.
And you walk up to the ticket person. And they go, sorry, you don't have any tickets. You go, well, you know, I happen to run a successful YouTube channel that you might have heard of it. It's called Super... No, I don't know what that is.
You slide a toonie across the thing.
You started that all wrong. You approach the booth. You're just like, sorry, I got here late. I was recording.
Yeah,
because I'm big and famous.
And then you stick your straw and readjust your star glasses.
And you wait for the question. That's never going to come.
Yeah. That doesn't mean anything to me, sir. Well, maybe my bird friend will help you out, Mr. Toonie. No, sir, I'm sorry.
Sir, this is a $2 coin.
I thought for a second that might actually become a thing because the Fantasia Film Festival follows me on Twitter. I don't know why.
Because we're bigger than they are.
Yeah. They took a picture of your shirt in line 1 year.
Yeah, I had a Terry Bogard shirt on.
And they do that whole thing, or whatever.
But if anyone's ever here on vacation or doesn't even know, it's still like the best film festival.
They got good stuff.
I really like it.
You get to see a movie where kids steal Kevin Bacon's cop car. And the entire movie is him trying to kill the kids to get it back.
I really like it.
It's called Cop Car!
Lady Hokusai is going to be there. Cooties is going to be there this year.
It's a movie where Elijah Wood has to kill children.
Because they have cooties, which is a real demon
zombie
virus.
Disease. Yeah, it's amazing.
We get those tickets for Sing 'em.
We got Sing 'em 2 tickets.
I got
Sing 'em 2 tickets.
I got two tickets.
When you asked, I included myself in that.
I didn't ask.
You did not ask.
No, I was sitting on the website hammering away.
You asked.
I got two or three. I don't know.
Oh, no.
Honestly, there's a selection of movies that I will never see at the film festival because they were ruined for me. I went to see Takashi Miike's Shield of Straw, which was phenomenal. And two other Japanese and Korean like thriller movies, fucking ruined by the audience. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
I don't mind going to see like a Bollywood movie or a comedy or something when that's the setting. But when it's a suspense movie or like some
Bollywood
sort of serious movie, I can't. A Bollywood suspense movie would be fine too.
It'd be great. Yeah,
it makes sense.
I can't stand just the people yelling and whooping through the movie when it's a serious suspense movie. And they're, like, losing it, like, belting out laughter
at serious scenes. I
want those people to die.
I hear you.
I think my favorite thing that, like, I'm trying to goad you into describing this behavior that you've missed out.
I'm not even describing those people. Those are the people who go to see Attack on Titan and Phoenix Wright and every anime movie on the ballot.
Here we go, that's
and,
what I want.
And translate it on their own, even though there's subtitles.
So you hear
four different amateur fan sub groups with two subscribers chatting it up in the audience at the same time.
And you're mad because you were already doing that.
No.
I watch a goddamn Garden of Words.
And people are trying to fucking translate Garden of Words into my ear. A fucker, I can read the subtitles. Sayonara!
Plus the screen is huge.
I hear that, and that's some unfortunate bullshit. However, most, if not almost all of my experiences with the crowd is that I love the crowd.
But not in thrillers.
I've seen thrillers, and I've had
a
great time.
I gotta say, it just depends a little bit. Shockingly... on Wooly's side on this one. I love in this specific venue, I want the crowd to be the worst. I want
everybody. The thing about the Fantasia crowd and the thing that
but if you go
them,
see Grave of the Fire, let's say Grave of the Fireflies is playing, do you want people whooping and
yes,
celebrate?
Yes,
you do.
I do.
Have you seen Shield of Straw?
Here's what but I've seen other.
Have
movies
you seen Itchy the Killer?
I've seen serious movies at Fantasia, and here's the thing: the Fantasia crowd is they're all marks. You're seeing
no, they're all children.
With a bunch of marks.
Children are marks.
So you're hearing.
Yeah, they are.
You're hearing all
John Cena
the
fans. Fans.
You're hearing the crowd go. All together.
It's not those people
like,
I hate. The people I hate are the people who aren't marks, who came in because it's a Japanese movie and are fucking, like, teenagers who go to Otakuthon and are just, like, belching with laughter at, like, people get, like, at serious
the
things.
The random
they ruin it,
those people. Rows on their phone. Like, you find those guys down at the normal theater, too.
Yeah, but I can tell them to stop and it works.
It's very infrequent
you know,
in
like,
a real movie
and
theater.
I do tell them to all stop right. And it works.
Well, we've had different experiences.
Let me ask you a quick question. You know. This is for my own personal validation. When we went and saw Samurai Cop,
it was the best.
The Woolen Lion. I laughed to a distracting degree.
People could tell it was you.
In that theater, and we know that because we got home and people had posted the Woolen Lion on our Facebook page, which meant that I must have been laughing real loud.
And they knew
that
we were in Montreal.
To a very distracting degree to the rest of the crowd. Was that too much for me?
I think the tone of that movie, which is that, it's fine. For me, it's, again, when I go to see a new Takashi Miike movie, and I want to
I guess that's okay as long as you're not Rich Evans. Because if I was laughing that hard with a Rich Evans laugh, then someone should have come up and beat me.
See, because I
love you, Rich,
but
oh god,
the same year that they showed Shield of Straw, there was another Miike movie, the cop one. I forgot what it's called.
Not
Dirty Gory Cop.
No.
I didn't go see that one.
I went to that instead, which is also a very serious police drama, and like, it was great. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's a group of people that I've been seeing movies with for over a decade now, and we're just. I like the sense of humor. I like the fact that. When we're watching Samurai Cop and the porn clapping starts happening,
but remember, Liam's talking specifically about serious movies,
and I'm getting there. And I'm like, and in serious movies, I've never really had like moments of serious things ruined.
It's like when you can hear people in the audience like not understanding and yelling "What the fuck" and stuff, and it makes perfect sense, and they're just. Like,
okay.
Not...
Short attention
like,
span.
They're not latching on. A specific bad experience, I went to see a Japanese horror movie with my girlfriend.
Thriller. Yeah, of course.
And it was about, like, this series of dismemberments and stuff.
Well, that sounds
horrible. And right next to us was these three 14 to 17-year-old people. And they were
You struggled to say people.
And they were... Yeah, because they're subhuman. They were all eating, like, these big Thai Express box sets that they had. They had the boxes, they had all the things, and they were pulling them around.
Foods,
of course, we're at Concordia, so they have the little tables that can fold out, because it's a lecture hall. And they were just ruining the movie completely. Not just with their eating, but with their talking and their yelling and
their
stuff.
Table.
Dude, I was so angry.
See?
I was so furious.
But did you do anything?
I asked them to stop twice, and they didn't.
Did you scream at them?
No.
Well, no, because then you distract
I don't
want to
ruin it for
them.
You gotta be willing to stab someone.
Yeah. To watch a movie. Mm.
And also, I have complained to Fantasia staff, and they just say, well, don't come to Fantasia.
Yeah, I never tell you guys
like,
about the time the guy threatened to stab me during Iron Man?
It's not don't come to Fantasia.
No, that's what I got
told by Fantasia staff. I'm saying that's not what I...
Obviously, that's not a higher up. That's a, you know, just some school kid who's working there.
No,
but like,
door deacon, you know.
Still asshole.
But I definitely, I think that, like, perhaps it's not going to be your optimal viewing experience in general.
Oh, never.
Because that's, like, that's part of what the film
The optimal viewing experience is
not
what
Oculus festivals are. It's what Fantasia is. I don't want that.
He does have a very specific point.
I want a good film viewing experience, and Fantasia is a subpar experience for a lot of films.
At the same time, though, you're coming into it while it's like that. It's been that way
for like 25 years.
Like before,
that doesn't justify it being good.
You know,
that doesn't justify it being good. That is the way it is, but it doesn't justify it being
good.
Good
is
politics. Politics have been fucked for years. But, and I should be allowed to criticize them, even though they've been fucked for years.
If someone wrote an article
for a newspaper and they got slammed because they didn't like the crowd.
If I had the same experiences as you, then I'd be able to see it a bit more. But like, I have a blast. I don't know.
No, in some movies it's great. Like when we went to see Singham, that was a riot.
Perhaps the things that bother you just don't bother me, you know? Like, but anyway.
If you're watching a Vagabond movie, let's say they made a Vagabond movie, and would you still feel the same way? Like, you love Vagabond enough that if someone started going,
I've gone to see shit that I really love and care about with it, and I've had a great time.
And it just doesn't bother you.
It doesn't bother me at all.
You gotta get...
I'm the guy that, like I said,
you're the guy that does that.
I'm the guy that... No.
You have to be able to become the shit crowd.
Like, I go and I look up the E3 trailers for announcements for games with crowd reactions.
Oh, yeah. No, those are great.
I love that.
You seen, like, the 4-hour supercut of FF7 reactions?
Right, exactly.
Went out and got all of them.
I want to go back and just get that crowd, like, hype with everything. And I feel like in most cases, in serious movies, too, I guess, the good reactions kind of, like,
Muted.
I don't hear the bad ones because
no, those are great. But if you saw a movie like Cloud Atlas, and there was people yelling throughout the movie, like that they didn't get stuff and laughing at stuff.
I saw Memories of Mexico. That's a fucking super long, super sad, depressing, beautiful movie.
The idea that you would go to a screening of Cloud Atlas and there would be people in the theater funny.
that's fair.
Right. Because I went and saw Cloud Atlas the night it came out and there were 8 people in that theater.
We were one row.
It was fucking bad.
Think about this. I barely knew Wooly. I haven't even met you. You weren't even born yet.
Yeah.
And I barely even knew Pat. I got to see Godzilla Final Wars with that crowd. Yeah. And that was that was the best movie experience I've ever had. Because everyone that was in there was in.
No, I saw a Toku movie last year, and it was a great experience as well because everyone was into
it. Ace Attorney
aren't into it, who are young and ruin it.
Yeah, so you should ban all young people.
Yeah.
I've been saying that for a while.
Yeah, from everything.
I find it mostly happens. I don't know why in Japanese movies.
Well, it's the weeb factor.
I don't know why it's the weeb factor.
That being said,
all the ultimate weeaboos.
That being said, though, like on the flip side of it, like when you're going to see a lighter movie or a comedy or something, or like a Godzilla action movie or Kung Fu Shaw Brothers, there's no better crowd in the world.
Yeah, no, those movies feel suited to it.
You remember, Matt? I don't know if you were with us. I think you were, but you remember the crowd we went to see fucking opening night, like midnight show of Grindhouse.
No, I didn't go.
I remember we were 10 people that, like, we just took over the top row.
But it wasn't just us. Like, the crowd that we had, it was just the regular movie theater. It was Max Scotia. For that showing of Grindhouse was the absolute perfect ideal group for Grindhouse. And that was a loud, active theater during that dumb show.
Tarantino fans.
Yeah. And it was intense.
There's good tones for sure. I guess all I'm getting at is I wouldn't even want to see Attack on Titan there if I could.
Yeah. To me, the good outweighs.
Besides the fact that the movie looks atrocious, I wouldn't even.
Well, that's another decision.
No, that's why you need
to
see it.
You know, they kiss.
That's another decision.
Oh, no!
They kiss Titans?
No!
Yeah. No.
But she was always Armin's girl.
Anyway.
This is what Wooly would say.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, you would.
I hope I can get
the other thing.
Eco's girl bullshit.
Yeah, well, that stands. But anyway,
sorry to hijack that.
Oh, that's fine.
And
rant. Hating on things is great for the podcast.
I'm keeping up with this season's 3 G's for me, which is Garo, Gate, and Gangsta, and they continue to be awesome.
They're fun.
Yeah,
they're good.
The Gate delivery on the second episode is exactly what I described last week as, I hope it goes in this direction. It's literally 30 minutes of an army just decimating fucking, or fantasy.
Yeah.
Like armies and shit like that.
Take
and
that,
like,
Griffin.
And it's now the camera is showing it to you from the fantasy point of view, mm-hmm. and they're like, we don't understand
how to do this.
There's like 4 guys there.
Why are they superhuman?
Amazing. It's great. I'm fucking really enjoying that.
I heard from some people that it gets a bit typical as it goes on.
Hope not, because I see
It is anime, after all.
There's 3 girls that are in the intro, and they have 3 bright-colored hair styles.
Dude, they're the three love interests.
And I'm like, God, I feel like that's going to happen any minute now.
It's going to happen.
So far, it's enjoyable.
The
it got you in there.
Yeah. Well, they're not there yet.
Well, right. They will be.
Meanwhile,
I really hate that we're in a day and age where, like, Gate can come out and the media in Gate, as in, like, the thing he follows and he's a big fan of, is a smartphone game.
Yeah.
And it's a shit smartphone. Yeah, it's the exact shit I described.
Is this irony, or is this, like, for real?
No, because that's how it really is.
It's just accuracy.
Oh.
That's how it really is.
Oh.
Remember, we were talking about the mobile shipping.
We were talking a lot about that.
Talking about it. Yeah.
They don't have whales, because they kill them all.
Yeah. Also, a couple people have been linking.
That's a little dark.
A couple people have been linking to this, and I decided to go check it out. But Xavier Woods, the wrestler, has a Let's Play channel now called Up Up Down Down.
Yeah.
And they did that Street Fighter 4 thing, right?
They did a couple things.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was like
Xavier Woods says that he can beat Dan Reichert at Mario Kart. Dan Reichert disagrees. They are both very heated about this.
Okay.
I'm eager to see the culmination of this rivalry.
Now, it was weird, though, because when I was first looking at this, I'm like, why am I getting linked to so many Let's Plays with wrestlers in them?
Because wrestlers are awesome.
And then
wrestlers are people, too, guys.
But, like, did a little digging.
Even the ones that are undead wizards.
That's right.
And then you got Undertaker plays!
But it's more like, it's like, how are these guys here, and how do we get that?
Yeah.
Well, you have to be sponsored by Vince.
Well, that's where I was going. Is like it's not outright advertised on the channel, but it turns out that the channel is actually like WWE
official production.
Official production.
So I guess it's like a trial stage to see if it works. Maybe
more or less. Yeah. You know,
and Vince wants to hit the kids on the internet.
And and I watched their little, like, round robin MKX tournament, and I watched Kofi Kingston, like, popping off, doing X-rays and shit, and it's fun.
Fucking cool. It's a fucking great idea.
It's a great idea. I really hope that, like...
And, like, wrestlers are on the road, like, all the fucking time.
So
of course they play shit
games,
ton of
exactly.
Games. Yeah.
Right now, it seems to just be grabbing, like, dudes from the locker room who play the games and are in there.
Put Rusev and Kofi in a Street Fighter tournament.
But I
don't do it.
But I want to get, like, Vince telling dudes that, like, Cena, you have mandatory LP time.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to get in there.
Cena John.
Powerful boyfriend isn't going to play itself.
Cena John so hard.
Yeah.
He'll kick the fucking console off because he refuses to sell.
He doesn't want
to
play anything but SOCOM.
Oh!
I got turned on by this because someone showed me that. Like, yeah. Because it was Xavier Woods and Cesaro playing Double Dragon Neon.
Double Dragon Neon.
He asked Cesaro, I was like, what are your memories of Double Dragon? Scott, no, I really liked to play with my brother. And they're just like, all right, look, here comes the punch. And they punch Marianne. They're like, yeah. And I was just like, oh, that's the setup. That's when we laughed. Because that Way 4 knew that this is the moment where you're like, this is the best plot in video games.
In the MKX video, like, there's like a bunch of wrestlers playing in the tournament. And then one of them is just like a seamster. Like, I don't know, the guy that makes costumes for the wrestlers. So he's just... random guy, and like they're just popping off and yelling in his face, and he's just like kind of like, okay. And he loses, so he has to take a cinnamon challenge. And it's just,
oh no!
You know, and it's just like, this guy's not even, like, he's not even a persona. He's not
the
a character.
Cinnamon challenge is literally just works there.
Yeah. He's an NPC.
You know, and they're just in his face, like with a big glowing power glove. And shit, it's
they have the power glove.
Did you know that Earl Hebner is actually a fucking fiend at Undernight in Birth?
You really funny.
I struggled for maybe the past 2-3 minutes to like, what game should Earl Hebner play? Which one? It's gotta be anime. Alright, it's anime.
Are you seeing that Earl Hebner?
This is an EX late. Fuck this shit.
Earl Hebner stays up late to watch Persona 5 trailers when they launch. He's like, yeah, it's a fucking shit.
Earl, you're sleepy for the matches.
I'm gonna call this game straight down the middle.
Earl Hebner threw a stick.
Yo, did you see that footage of Sanford throwing his stick?
Yeah.
What, oh, new footage?
Which one? The new one, like last week.
No, I missed that.
Dude,
wait,
like,
Wait, last week?
Like if I, the,
fuck,
the,
no.
It, what, I forget who he's playing. He was playing this really chill-looking black guy. After Sanford throws a stick, he just, like, gives a little peace sign and a smile to the fucking camera and just runs.
Mean,
like,
you mean,
are you talking... He's talking about, Rico Suave?
Yeah, that was
the thing that came up.
Like, then how did that only get to me, like,
months ago.
3 days
ago? I put that in my top 10 video.
Really?
Like, last year.
It was
year.
On the donkeys.
He looks at the camera and smiles, and the people took Mentos.
The fresh maker.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't remember that part. Well.
Well, no, people added that to the video later.
Okay.
LTTP pad.
Well, damn, I wish
I
there
guess
was
I am LTTP.
Because that's hilarious. Because it's a Street Fighter match, right?
Yeah, and he
Abel against the...
Yeah, and he throws the stick so hard at the floor, you can hear it shatter.
And you see everyone look around like, oh, shit.
There should be more of that.
Anyway, moving on.
I'm sorry, everyone, I'm an idiot.
Mm-hmm. You know who else is LTTP?
Who else is LTTP?
Ken!
Woo!
That's
came in
late to the party.
Fashionably late.
No, he's not, because the game's not out.
I'm glad they,
No, I agree. Like, he's always in the original announcement. Always.
He's late to the pre-release part.
Yeah, alright, so...
I wish they would have not revealed him and had him as a secret unlockable character.
Or the last character to be unveiled.
Or something like that, yeah.
Alright, let's go around. Yays or nays?
Yays.
Yay post-reveal.
I was extremely nay pre-reveal, as I spoke constantly about how he should be in the game, unless they turn him into a totally different character. Then turn him into a totally different character! So,
I would say totally.
Yay, triple thumbs up!
He's as different as he
triple
could
thumbs
be
up.
He's story-wise.
He's sufficient.
He's not gonna start doing wrestling at a point.
But absolutely make the aesthetic and gameplay changes that need to be there.
You changed his
mind. Use the staple.
I thought if he came back, there's
super
yay. That he would play differently, but I never thought that he'd actually change his fucking costume.
And no, he looks like as different as Akuma does from Ryu.
More.
Just in terms of like
and
the color, moveset difference, and how they play, and how they play, and everything.
And over the
years,
also, because the run is extreme.
Over the years, it's become extremely obvious to anyone that's been paying attention how Ken should be different.
Yes,
his kicks are his.
Everyone loves his kicks.
And that's why it's ultra now. Yeah.
And bam, there it is. It's not just the super. It's like he's
super,
got the crazy kick variants, but not the same
and
ones.
It's his
and
EX
just
that really
changed
the fucking hurricane.
His step kick
that
knocks
on another
down,
level. Yeah,
knocks down,
and you can dash into it.
Now you can see the difference between
more than ever before. Right. You can see the difference.
And they've given him a Mortal Kombat run.
He has an MK run that can be cancelled out of normal.
Now the question is he evil?
No.
Is he
not
violent?
Yet.
Is he evil or violent?
No.
Or both?
He is
violently evil?
He is neither.
Not yet.
I fucking think the trigger, like FADC-esque ability, is a genius thing to throw in there, since Ryu doesn't have it.
Yeah.
You know? So he's much... So, like, Ken is a nice representation of, like, four... While Ryu is a representation of three,
I still want Sea Viper with an FA with a focus.
Absolutely,
attack.
But Ken has
that would be her skill.
Exactly,
instead of a trap.
But
do
realize that Ken has a burn kick identical to Viper now.
Yeah,
yeah.
His air like Tatsu on
it's
fire
it's
is
similar. Yeah,
it's a
hey, you got some of
kick.
My Viper in your Ken.
Yeah,
I bet.
Cool move.
I bet all over your butt cheeks.
Ken doesn't have like. Cyclops eyes, though.
I mean, you can go back to videos. You can go back to stuff where we were talking about.
See, Viper has Cyclops eyes. It's true.
You can go back to us talking about, like, Street Fighter and where we want things to go and whatnot. Back when 4 came out, and it's like the time passing for the characters is the biggest number one
like thing,
that
we complain
want.
What you and I had a moment yesterday when we were talking to Liam about, because Liam, you're totally right, like, he does look a lot like Ruble.
Yeah.
Well, 98 Ruble, not classic
Ruble,
not old Ruble.
/ Ramon from King
right, where it's like, he's got these, especially in the concept
the
art.
The tight black.
I think he looks different enough, but it's a clear inspiration, right?
Yeah, and it's an MMA shirt.
Right, but it's like, and Wooly, you said it perfectly, if Street Fighter's gonna steal one thing from King of Fighters, it should be the style.
The sense
I was
going to
say, it should be motions. Imagine.
Yeah. But it should, like, everyone in KOF looks stylish. They look like people that could go to the club. Like, every version of Kyo and Yori are cool as fuck. K-Dash should be the dumbest looking motherfucker in the universe.
But those assless chaps are glorious.
And the white hair and the glass, but he's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And for Ken... so far just Ken, but to just get a little taste of that.
And it's a game full of Dantes. Where it's like,
yeah,
it's you should be an asshole,
well,
but somehow
well,
your
I can see Birdie trying to go to the club
well,
and then kicking him out.
Considering Ken is Dante,
yeah,
then that makes a lot of sense. That being said, like a little bit of this was spoiled a little while ago because Ruben Langdon was going around E3 with a little Ken doll.
Yeah, yeah.
And just say, and people were like, why are you at E3? And he'd go, ah, with the little Ken doll, and then run away.
What a great advertisement.
Like, I
fucking really
I like the fact that he's not, got, he doesn't have the He-Man cut anymore.
Oh, yeah. I like the Tama.
Now,
the
thing is that the He-Man cut, while weird looking, was super accurate to specifically Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In every other game, you got the different looks, but in that game...
Yeah, the long ponytail, or you had the
frizz in third place.
The frizz in 2 years was that.
My only actual complaint that his face model looks a little...
Yeah,
off.
I hope
it
does look a little
describe
weird.
It.
Yeah, no, I agree. It does look
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, it's the eyes in particular.
It's something
you know?
Like that. But,
but
no,
the top knot, I'm fine with.
Yeah, I'm fine with everything.
You know, I just fucking... And the thing is, too, is I've always said that I wanted to see, like... My ideal design for the characters would be Ken in red dress shirt, black pants kind of thing, and then Ryu would have the shirt down, like his alt costume
was
before. But you know what? This is fine, too.
Yeah, that's great.
If Akuma shows up, please be not in demon ropes, because enough of those.
Yeah. Enough of that stupid shit.
But find something else.
I would
else.
Be fine with Akuma not being in the game at all.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That'd be fine, too.
Like, you know, we all want them,
to
be cool.
We all want them to get, like, mega-aged up, but that's, like, a tough thing to do.
Not mega-aged.
Because once you age them too much, it's hard to roll it back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
but aged enough to show some type of progression.
And we're getting a little bit of it. Not as much as you'd like,
yeah,
but
a little
bit's
in there.
Well, I would like more people to be at least as different as Ken is. To Ken,
mm-hmm. yeah,
then
yeah,
like,
and the genius behind Ken's new gameplay style is that if you're a fucking shit Ken scrub that just picks Ken because like guess what, his fucking three hit fireball upper fire upper is still there,
yeah,
his old hurricane kick is still there, and his jumping hard kick appears to be the same as well,
yeah,
like.
Those people aren't going to notice. You're not going to miss a beat.
Yep.
You're not going to miss a beat.
This is the first Street Fighter game ever in which I actually want to play as both Ryu and Ken.
Well, yeah.
There's always been one that I looked at and said, in this version, I like to play this guy. In this version, I like to play this guy. But here, finally, they both look really cool.
Expect DLC classic costumes coming.
Oh,
yeah.
Did they announce
that formally?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
That's a good thing.
Right? Hey, Ken crybabies who need your boring-looking Ken.
There was a lot of people complaining.
Yeah, they're crybabies.
A lot of people
I couldn't get through their comments because I fell asleep while reading them.
Wooly and I got really mad about that.
Okay, Wooly, what exactly did you say all these people should do?
Yeah. They should go die!
With what
that's
Wooly
just
said.
What you fucking said.
No, you said, go die, you uncreative fucks.
Yeah, your life
that
bores
was
me.
And I can't even really
disagree. Every shout from the heavens, no die. Don't change the character at all. Ken has worn the same outfit with only
changed.
Minor changes to his hair since 88.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck off.
Your very existence repulses Wooly.
Ken's design is older than Liam.
I get
for real. Like, not young joke for real.
I get fucking drowsy just looking at you.
Fuck.
Disgusting.
Like, the biggest disappointment of 4... was that almost everyone came back unaltered.
Yeah.
There was, like, tiny little changes, but, like, every fighting game, like, both KI and MK all have some type of classic costume. Like, everyone has a classic tournament
version. Yeah, great. Put the classic costume in.
Now the fighting games are back. It's a chance to change.
You know what? Yeah, and let me put this on the record, too. I think Ono's trolling. I don't think Blanca is going to show up.
No way.
I don't think he's going to show up.
No way.
And I'm totally fine with that.
But there is a Brazil stage.
There is a Brazil stage.
Think?
I think we're going to get a new Brazilian fighter.
I think the guy that we see at the end of the Ken trailer is a completely new character.
Yeah.
And I think they're either from Brazil or New Zealand.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? That's fine, man. Like, honestly, I don't need Blanca in this game.
Will have gimmicky bullshit.
That you'll love.
Well, right now, Birdie's in there.
Yeah.
As a bare minimum.
Yeah.
If we get Karen, that's a good one, too.
So,
I don't need.
I was asked recently, like, hey Pat, what character are you looking to main in Street Fighter V? I said, well, Ryu looks good, and so does Chun-Li, and I'd really like to play a lot of Birdie, and I love Bison. And Ken looks really cool. It's like, Pat, you just named every character in the fucking game.
You just listed the entire roster. Like, no,
everyone looks great. Cool move, yeah, Charlie, my number one right now is still Nash, because he's so fucking cool.
I'm not too interested in playing as Ryu or Bison, just because...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, all the other characters are fine. The only thing that, like, because we've heard rumors at Silicon Era mostly, like, saying, these are the characters we know, we have it on good
authority. Yuri and Alex, Karen, and Armika are coming.
Which almost seem like the ones that Ono wants the most, or knows that people want the most, or apparently, or whatever.
I hate Armika, but if I get those other three, that's a okay.
Armika.
Armika's
the
awesome.
The only thing I actually want... at this point, is an obscure Final Fight character. Don't want Hagar, don't want Cody, I want Dean, Mackie, or who's the other guy? Dean, Mackie, who's the other guy that I might
Carlos want? Rodriguez.
Carlos Miyamoto.
Fuck.
He's the dumbest. If Carlos was in it, I'd lose my shit, because that is literally the most obscure character you could put
or an enemy. Like,
I think Dean's pretty good, though, yeah.
Skullomania. Yeah.
That's never going to happen.
No, hey, sorry. Listen.
No, Erika owns Skullomania.
They can't. And Erika made a fighting game, or was trying to make a fighting game, with those characters without the Street Fighter characters in
Boo.
Them. Fighting layer.
Boo.
Bummer that game never went anywhere.
It just...
Okay, buy Karen, and I'll forgive them for their lack of Skullomania.
Karen's likely, because that's just a manga
It's been
author.
So long that we... Like, come on, that character's
it's
great.
Just, it's just a manga author. They can work that shit out.
And you know what? Karen should be the gym teacher. Like, don't get Sakura, because Sakura has to stay in her fucking schoolgirl outfit forever.
What are you talking about?
Like, the whole idea was always going to be that Sakura, grown up, would be a gym teacher.
Flash Thompson, just fuck with
people and have it be Karen instead in the fucking sweat clothes and shit.
She's too rich for that.
That doesn't really suit Karen.
No, that's the best
part.
She doesn't need to teach.
No, that's weird.
Yeah, I just want people, I want people to get mad.
Sure.
Anyway.
That's what I want.
Got mad at you.
Yeah, good.
Because you did it.
This is my fault.
Yeah. Please attribute all negative feelings towards Pat for the rest of your life.
You know? Wow, so, that's a big... Like,
this is a burden. Because
it's not about this. It's all negative feelings. Wow. I don't know if I can handle that.
You just want people to get mad.
While we're on this, Harada recently came out and said... concerning Tekken Cross Street Fighter, we have the full character lineup decided, we have all the models made, and we have the full system done as well.
We in there.
Wow, okay. Right?
So they're, like, getting towards art complete, which is pretty intense.
What they're having a problem with,
is programming it.
No.
No, and it's like, you're super right, Harada. The fucking timing is so hard for this game, because you can't do it so close to Street Fighter Cross Tekken, because, right? And they're already discussing coming up with a different name. And secondly, they also want to present things in a different way that's just not the reverse flip side.
I would love to
catch people's attention.
I would really like it to play a lot more like Tekken, honestly.
Mm. It should be a brand new fighting game.
Like, also, they can't release it in the next year and a half.
It's the timing.
Because in the next year and a half, Street Fighter V and Tekken 7
comes. You know what? It should just be Capcom versus Namco at this point. Don't even make it
Street
Fighter
okay. That'd be all
versus right. Tekken.
Well, sure, but
have the car from Ridge Racer in it,
and then
Pac-Man,
and then Killick just owns the cast.
Yeah,
put Killick in there.
Put the SE1 Killick in there.
Anyway,
there is Soul Calibur. I thought you meant Soul Edge 1.
The problem, like I said, it's just fighting games are back, and they're dropping with a pretty solid frequency. So a game like this, which is also not the priority, which is Tekken 7, like, when and how do you handle this? You know?
I like
the way he's talking about it, it gives me, like, a weird idea where I'm just kind of thinking, it's like, okay, so they have all the assets, is what he's saying. They just don't know how to present this or put it out in the right package. What if it was just a weird
DLC for Street Fighter
part of Tekken 7?
Yeah, or yeah, DLC for Tekken 7.
It could be, but I think that's a waste. I think there's too much money that could be made.
I agree with you.
Yeah, you're right. No,
well, we don't
but a multi-million seller.
You know what's really important, though? That in Harada discussing this timing issue, it means everyone is finally on board in the fighting game business. Guys, we cannot crowd the shit like we used to.
Yeah.
We can't do it like we did it in the 90s. We fucking killed our own market by flooding it. We need to give the big... And everyone knows who what the big ones are.
Yeah.
we need to spread them out, and then the guys on the slightly lower tier, like a lot of the anime fighting games, they spread themselves out along their own schedule. Exactly. Like,
dude, they're everywhere. I don't know if you follow, like, Japan-only fighting game releases on PS3 and stuff. They're everywhere.
Yeah,
there are just, so many just, coming
there's
out.
There's a new Blade Blue version tier hitting.
I'm not even... Yeah, no, I'm talking...
No, he's talking the C tier.
Yeah, okay.
Blaze Blue and those, that's okay. C tier.
Is it... Was it called Blaze Blue, like, fiction?
Something fiction.
It's the weirdest
Central fiction.
Central fiction, that's it. But I think it would actually be pretty cool, or, like, release Omega Mode for Tekken 7, and it's... Street Fighter.
It's just like the, there's a specific like, way to
make that Virtua Fighter April Fool's joke real.
Yeah. Like I could see that being like remember Wolfenstein and the Old Blood. It's like that. Yeah. It's like release the core game and then release like this companion kind of game.
So since Street Fighter Cross Tekken is already released, just doing this normally and trying to sell it as a special crossover isn't going to catch any interest. We need some sort of surprise, right? I can't really say how we're aiming to surprise fans right now, but we've been playing around with different ideas.
It's out right now.
Or it's going to be...
That was one of the things they explicitly said was tough, was the timing of release.
But
also, now it's Street Fighter V.
But also being a crossover isn't good enough either.
Yeah.
No, it has to be a live stage show, and you can win things by watching.
Add SNK into it without their rights.
SNK involved.
That would be a way to make it...
That'd be a dream match.
That would be a way to make it surprising. Add a third company.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
And you know what?
Nintendo.
You know what? You don't have to have a full roster for that third company.
You
need two characters.
You need
two. Put Kyo and Yori or K-Dash and
Lori Yagami.
They should get those two, and they should get Akira and Pai, and they should just go around.
No, you get Kasumi and Zack.
Get Kasumi and Zack as well. Just collect the names.
Those are the two.
Dude, if Ayane doesn't join Kasumi and Zack in any appearance they make, houses will burn.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what? Yeah. Ayane's the best character in that game.
I don't think so.
In
a game that Ryu exists?
But I don't think
she's got the purple hair, and
but
she does...
Ryu's in that game.
And she spins around.
Hayabusa is in this game.
Ayane is awesome
in
Ninja Gaiden 3.
Ryu Hayabusa is a goddamn piece of fucking toast covered in bread.
With an Azuna drop in his arsenal.
Momoji is my favorite DOA
Momoji's
character.
Great.
I love
she's
her.
Great, yeah.
She's the best.
Her design's good.
She's super cool in Razor's Edge as well.
Yeah, I know, because I played enough of
that.
Not to mention Rig and other normal girls.
Mila.
She's a fighter.
Yeah, a fighter.
But I don't know, like he's working directly on like a minimum of three games right now, two of which are fighters, so it's a sticky situation.
I like that he acknowledges straight up, though. It's like, yeah, we can't just throw this out there, you know.
It's too valuable. It's still worth
also
fun.
If Cross Tekken had been a big success, or like
this
better than
be
it was, this would have been out already.
Yeah.
We gotta roll through some
also
stories,
please
though,
pre-order
right, so.
Street Fighter V.
Yeah.
He's referring to
Ono jumping on stage.
Yeah, you gotta say this.
Yeah, of course. In the middle of a Tekken
San Diego Comic-Con
conference. Yeah, like Ono just hijacked the stage in front of Tirana. And like just said, please pre-order Street Fighter V, because that's the point it's gotten to. It's gotten to the
I
point
don't
of
want
wrestling.
This rivalry.
That's amazing.
I don't want this rivalry to ever end.
Yeah, because
it
used to be manufactured promos, right?
Yeah.
But now it's like actively interfering
in the other game,
and eventually it will become. Like, Harada went to the Capcom HQ and poisoned all of their food.
Like,
well, I'm excited to get to the severity.
Ono avoided it because he was at Harada's house painting everything green.
I want to get to the severity of smear campaigns, where Capcom and Namco are paying for anti-ads for the other game.
Yeah, that's great.
And not ads for themselves.
Yeah.
Just complete raw
smears.
Truly
the new age of promo bombing.
Yeah. I love those two.
All right, let's move along.
We betrayed fans and want to be a brand again, says which company CEO?
Oh, I don't know.
Sega CEO.
Hajime Satomi.
Yep.
It is remarkably succinct and straightforward.
Ballsy, too.
All the Japanese companies who care are pulling it back.
Fucking,
well, they're saying.
not gonna,
well, gonna pull it
for
back.
Sure, but Square, so far, two of three have demonstrated.
Square Enix did more doing and less apologizing.
Yeah, you're right, you're
Capcom
right.
starting with the doing.
And, but like, Sega's like straight up apology is like unprecedented.
Yeah.
It's like the language of we have betrayed fans.
Yeah. But like,
it's nuts.
What
pretty extreme.
Other punctuation do you put at the end of the legacy of Sonic Team?
And everything else. That
after that many bombs, what can you say?
Can I please?
Besides, we're fucking sorry.
Can I please?
Remember?
Can I please get a new Shining Force game?
That's only if that's it part of the apology.
Only if it doesn't.
Oh God! Like, look. Just
only
look,
if it doesn't shut down everything on YouTube.
Just looking over at Liam, and he just like
smiling
sad.
And
no, he just
no.
He, no, no,
I was
no,
unhappy
no
until Pat exclaimed. At which point
no,
I smiled.
No expression. I'm just like nope.
Because,
no.
Dude, a Shining game came out on PS3 last year.
I said
like,
Shining Force.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, unless they do a full
reboot. Did you say Shining Arc?
But
Shining Arc's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's like saying, Nintendo, I demand a new Battle Clash.
Yeah.
No, not Metal Combat.
Anyway,
Battle Clash
no,
specifically.
In a,
like,
in a realistic sense, here's where you start. The Yakuza 5 thing is a great start.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of that on Sony. Don't let
there's another two that I'm looking for from you.
Valkyria Chronicles.
No, that already exists.
No.
That already
that are currently coming out.
Shenmue?
That they've been doing
Shenmue?
Good with.
Shenmue? No, no, they don't own that.
Project D.Va?
Okay.
Which they're released. No,
yeah, yeah.
It is
yeah,
pure game.
Yeah.
It is good.
Yeah.
It is very good.
Sure.
But don't expect that out of us.
And,
out of me, especially.
And Dengeki Bunko.
Yeah, okay.
Localizing a niche
Fighting
product.
And that
okay.
elephant game, you know, the one
Temple.
We all saw
Embo,
coming.
The
okay.
fucking elephant is
yeah.
super
yeah.
fun.
But here,
I talked mad shit about Bunko Fighting Climax when
you
that
did.
Was announced.
Yeah.
I played it. That's a fighter.
Here's
most fighter. Importantly, they're localizing it.
Here's what
yeah,
needs
an,
to happen.
An anime-ass anime fighter.
Yep. So. I will forgive them all of their trespasses as long as they don't let Virtua Fighter die.
Yeah,
like
I don't know.
That's
it's like they put out Virtual Fighter products. I mean, Final Showdown came out not too long ago. People don't buy it. What are they supposed to do?
They're huge in arcades
and in Japan.
Yes,
which
like,
doesn't matter.
No, but
you know what I mean.
No, hold on. They are huge in arcades, and they easily have their success in arcades, and then
yeah.
they make the home version, and that covers its own costs and makes its money.
Does it?
Yes, supposedly. I mean, they did the Virtual Fighter 5 Final Showdown was the very first.
Did they say it was profitable?
Game.
Like,
not to my knowledge,
because that's
I,
not how PS Plus doesn't work.
I
they
assumed
don't...
it was.
I don't think it is.
Whatever. Don't let Virtual Fighter die.
I think Virtual
continue
Fighter
continue it on in the legacy of DOA.
Sure.
What
and like
continue?
Oh no!
I think that's its best shot.
And, then, like, and if the only other way you're going to afford to make a fighting game is if you could put the Durara guy in it, then
yeah.
do that.
Fuck it. Look at Capcom.
He's a pretty good grappler.
They'll
yeah,
take Sony's
yeah,
fucking
cool.
money to make a fighting game. Fucking go to Sony and
yeah.
have them pay
yeah,
for
but
Virtual
I don't
Fighter.
Think many
yeah,
but
do they
that are like yeah, Virtual
Fighter world where they have Street Fighter 5.
I need Virtua Fighter in a world.
Why don't you go to
Sega
and pay for?
Look, you know,
Two Best Friends Play presents an exclusive
hey.
To the Two Best Friends Play channel Virtua Fighter 6
Liam,
footage on YouTube.
Liam, there's like you joke, but like
yeah.
I remember asking Wooly this a million years ago. It's like if Street before Street Fighter 5 existed.
Yeah,
it's like if you if there was
yeah.
a Kickstarter for Street Fighter 5.
Yeah, of course.
Like.
And then
we would damage our lives.
Mortgage
and
the
then,
house.
And, then the,
and I feel similarly to Virtual Fighter.
And then
I fucking love
and then
that.
The updated
I know
version
you.
Of that question is, would you be okay if Virtual Fighter lived on in Dead or Alive?
And the answer is no.
Yeah.
It's close, but it's not, come on.
Would you be cool if, like, you know, like, the next, like, say the only viable thing for them to do was have the Dengeki Bunko team make a 2D Virtual Fighter?
No, god damn it!
You need a full 3D Virtua Fighter?
Virtua Fighter defines the 3D.
No, I'm aware. I'm just throwing stuff out.
Houses would burn.
Yeah.
In Japan.
Oh my god, dude. Oh. I don't need to be upset for that shit.
Fudo just needs the point.
Mm.
But anyway.
Like, Akira's last appearance cannot be in Dengeki Bunko.
Getting turned into a basketball.
It's going to be in Project Cross Zone 2.
It's true. Or do you mean
my statement stands
yeah,
with a minor
yeah.
variation?
Yep.
Yeah.
No, you're not wrong.
I want him turning into a basketball. Goodbye, Akira.
Yeah.
in Yakuza 5, you know what you can do in that game? You can do in Yakuza 5, you go to Loke Arcade, and play a feature-complete arcade port of Virtua Fighter 2.
Yep, that's true.
Can you cross the street and go to a Don Quixote?
Yes.
Yes.
Pretty much, actually.
That's what the game is.
So, no, Armchair CEO, we've done it a couple times with Sega, but quite frankly, like, yeah, I start with a groveling apology here.
That's
but
a good
then
start.
Act on it, please. Yeah. That's cool, though.
Sega, sure. Like, they've always been defined by their games with, like, really unique gameplay, mm-hmm. I find, and they have a few going right now that are really good series.
You know, also, I want to clarify there, like, I don't care for, like, apologies, but I like the acknowledgement that something's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this was, like, I think we were here over a year ago where Square Enix said, we're going to focus more on RPGs,
and we all
kind of went, we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, yeah. We'll fucking see. Bravely Default makes me think
exactly.
More than zero.
Yeah.
But,
and then,
you know,
and then
we'll see.
We were lucky
and
enough
to see.
Kind of
at the same place with Sega. Though they've already got a feather in their cap because they are going to be bringing out the Phantasy Star Online 2 anime.
Yep.
Yeah.
That game.
I hope it's better than the Valkyrie.
That anime will hit the West before the game.
Possibly, yeah.
So, speaking of we'll see, something's up with Devil's Third. And it's a little bit unclear what.
It's very unclear.
But something's going on.
I think
this whole situation. This whole situation just should not fucking exist.
It was clear, but then it's not clear anymore.
And then it clears up, and then it becomes
actually
unclear.
Losing right now is Unseen 64's credibility.
There's an update to the story, though.
I don't agree with that.
And so
they said a thing that's not true.
Unless it turns out to be true later.
Nintendo hasn't said they're publishing.
No, but they said that Nintendo has no interest.
Well, he's got the chart in front of him.
Well, it started with rumors that it was straight up just not being brought localized by Nintendo anymore.
Nintendo of America.
Nintendo of America was giving up on the publishing.
Still coming out in Europe.
Then there was a little bit of back and forth and whatnot, and eventually it resulted in Nintendo just making a statement saying, we are excited to bring you guys Devil Third soon, we'll have news in the future.
And Silicon Era said that Nintendo is co-publishing it or something,
and
outside publisher.
Itagaki made a statement saying, Itagaki made a statement saying, I will bring Devil's Third to the Americas!
And he also said something else, says, don't believe his lies.
And he also said, please don't eat me, I'm not really oatmeal.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Japan, it's already been confirmed to be an Amazon exclusive, I believe.
For the retail version, yes. Only on Amazon Japan. For digital, it's available anywhere.
So something's up.
So they're xenoblading it.
The other actual bad bit of news. Apparently a bunch of European outlets played the game and they were not very.
They're not.
Of it.
Yeah, I saw that.
So what's the extra?
The missing bit of news is Emily Rogers, who has multiple times leaked stuff from various industry things, including Nintendo. Actually, she's leaked a bunch of stuff from Nintendo. She said it's going to be XSEED.
Yeah, it's going to be XSEED.
It has to be XSEED.
No,
because
she straight up said
what
it
was
is XSEED doing
XSEED.
No, but I mean, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
They're the company that does this.
Because
well, they did the last story.
Yeah.
They did Pandora's Tower.
Last story is their biggest success ever. I remember they put out that
XSEED does
release.
What Nintendo.
Yeah.
Put out bad games.
The last story wasn't a bad
well,
game.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, this kind of all gets muted when it's like, oh, a lot of people play the game and they say it's not great. Now, that could just be...
Now, Liam did get hands-on.
Nintendo puts out, like, average to not good games as well. Donkey Kong Barrel Blast.
No,
I'm
just stating the fact that in this game in particular, it might actually be shitty. Who knows?
I'm very open to that possibility.
I still think the idea of publishing a game in one region, that it's your game.
Yeah,
it's ostensibly your game. And not publishing it in another region is like...
The one thing that makes me go, ugh, I
think
that's
not the case.
When you have a
strong publisher.
It's just NOA saying we don't want this game staining our Metacritic.
Liam, I totally agree with you. I 100%.
I think that's what it
is. I totally agree with your exact reasoning in every way with that that's just ugh. But it would be slightly less disgusting if the console wasn't region locked. If the console was not region locked,
at least get a European copy.
Then there'd be a like
a European copy.
There'd be a fuck it solution.
Yeah. Oh God, I hope with the WADA passing that at least that mandate is gonna.
Here's hoping
that quote unquote initiative that he was alluding to.
Yeah.
Well, I
like
better fucking. I feel like
should never have happened.
Motherfuckers are gonna have to go into the next Nintendo investor meeting with chainmail on. You know, like, you're going to have to fight back some...
Guys,
fucking...
we need to talk business. Fuck you! No, guys.
Because a lot of seem good about fending that off.
You know that there are
red wedding doors.
You know there are businessmen right now dry washing their hands, getting ready for that meeting because they view this as their fucking chance to change things.
Yeah.
Fucking
nothing's gonna happen.
Yeah, honestly, but I just want to point out those scumbags exist. And, they're getting ready.
Anyone who utters the letters like "mob" just get tranked immediately.
Well, what about the DNA guys?
Yeah,
who are working on it and having a hard time because people keep tranquilizing them.
Account system is going to be somewhat delayed due to tranquilizer issues.
Nintendo keeps tranquilizing us and spending money on us.
Because Pandora's Tower and Disaster, as much as like I like
gun. They can't stop it.
I could see how someone
we can't turn it off.
Xenoblade and Last Story always mystified me.
Well, like, Xenoblade, why do you keep reloading it with tranquilizer darts?
That's you know, but, well,
another code R.
We you know, run.
Also another game where I could see someone passing on that.
Zangeki no Regen Lave.
I all can also anything made by Sandlot, any publisher can say no thanks.
The Degaso Band Brothers series.
You know, like, Liam could just make up games and we would.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We know what Regen Lave is, though. I know what you mean, but Regen Lave, I know what that is.
One out of three nice. I recognize when he says
Marionation Gear. For the DS, the mech piloting game.
That was yeah, see, that, yeah, that one can be totally made up. Yeah, there it is.
The exclamation Rangers.
Amazing Nurse Nanako-chan. I really got pissed.
Sure.
With
Mother 3.
Is Nanako-chan? You want to say Amazing Nurse Nanako?
No, Nunchaku-chan.
Nunchaku-chan.
That's what he's saying.
Okay.
It's not a thing.
Because Amazing Nurse Nanako is a thing.
But I don't know, like, Nintendo has, like, a weird... Considering they're such a global company, I find it weird that they have a history of not localizing stuff.
I think it's just NOA going, no,
it's
going to
fight. It's a fight. It's a battle. Like,
they're
you
a global
I mean?
Company.
It's time for the next battle.
It's, they're ready for the next battle. It's, yeah. They're fucking... They've been pushing that...
Fatal Fury is...
Like, in a world...
Fatal Frame is apparently fine.
In a world where they can localize... Tomodachi collections.
Yeah.
And deem the word that needs changing to be collection.
Inigaki Street.
And have it be a massive success. Like,
yeah.
Granted, yeah, Fortune Street was a flaw.
Anyway.
Oh, well.
You know, like.
For a second, I thought Inigaki Street meant you had to dodge a big sludge of oatmeal.
Oh, yeah.
You fucked that up. Inigaki
Street. But they did it because Mario was on the cover.
Mario's on the cover.
And they wouldn't have done Puzzle and Dragons if Mario wasn't on the cover. Yeah.
So, finally...
Finally?
Jade Raymond has come back to Montreal.
Oh, yes. Really?
Setting up a new studio called...
For EA, right?
For EA, really.
Motive Studios at EA, and they're going to be working on Star Wars games.
They're working with Visceral, right?
Working with Visceral on Star Wars games.
That sounds good.
How about Bounty Hunter 2? Do it. Boba Fett's getting his own movie, for fuck's sake.
That's not confirmed.
I know, but it'll be cool.
That's what 1313 is supposed to be.
Visceral,
Prey 2, finally.
I think their last name was... Their last game
Prey
was...
Prey 2
was
kind of like Bounty Hunter.
It was Army of Two, The Devil's Cartel, was it the last one? Which was, like, a good game that was marred by the Army of Two brand.
What, that Jay Raymond made, or Visceral?
That Visceral Montreal made. I think it was Army of Two, The Devil's Cartel.
But they probably helped out with other stuff after
that. So, I don't know. I hope they can do something. She's clearly exhibited a talent to lead. She created Ubisoft Toronto.
Was there anything after I'm Alive that she worked on?
That was Ubisoft Shanghai.
Yeah, that wasn't even her, really.
She was involved.
She may have been involved. But Splinter Cell Blacklist was the big one when they opened UB Toronto. Okay. That she was the person who brought UB Toronto up.
Right.
She set up the studio.
So she seems totally apt.
I'm looking forward to a future that may include actual good Star Wars games.
Yeah.
Again.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, that you know, if we get
Star Wars games go in bunches.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me that Bombad Racing, too.
If we get a future where we have good Star Wars movies again, that'll be amazing. That trailer's pretty...
Well, that... Not that... Whatever that is.
Yeah.
It's not quite a trailer.
But that's what I want more than a trailer.
Yeah.
I want out of context just shots from the set.
Yeah.
Does more for me.
That's fun, too.
Yeah. Although, like, Phil was super right. Phil Dragash, she was just like... Somewhere underneath all this teal, there's an actual Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he color-corrected a bunch of the scenes, and it's like,
wow, you
can see it.
Speaking of Disney having a big brand that they're returning to console gaming...
Speaking of movies that were announced at Comic-Con...
Oh, there's a sidestep.
Okay.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. Is this a Disney Infinity thing?
No. Marvel games are coming back to consoles next year.
I did not see this.
Really. I also did not see that.
They're going to start making Marvel console games again.
As long as they're good, that's fine.
Yeah.
Now's the time. Just hold up your sign.
When
it's Marvel 4.
Marvel. That's your invention, your baby.
I invented it.
You invented it.
I coined that phrase.
That's correct. That's
you. I should
you should copyright it.
Like, we've played Marvel on the channel more than any other game.
I don't want Marvel 4.
I also don't want Marvel 4.
I want Capcom versus Capcom.
That's right.
That's what I want.
Moving on.
I'm glad to hear you say it again.
Did they say what franchise? Just
Marvel games will be returning to consoles.
Okay. I think that could be anything.
Let's just lightning round this a little bit, because there's a couple things that popped up at Comic-Con. But yeah, so we had The Force Awakens reel. That looks real good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Nothing else to say there. We had the Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice trailer. Here's what I got to say. I got to say that I really like the fact that Batman's whole thing...
I called it!
...is, dude... You fucked up Metropolis.
Yeah.
Really hard.
You broke my tower.
What are you doing?
The shot they use in the trailer is ideal because it is... running into 9/11. Before that is Bats sees eye lasers tearing up a building.
Yes.
And we all know that's from a scene in which the only person who can shoot eye lasers is Superman.
So it's unquestionable
Superman is wrecking that building.
Yeah. This is one of the most, like, trailers where I'm like, what is this?
Yes.
I don't need... Is this a Batman fucking origin story? Because it made it seem like it was.
No.
Because people went, oh, this... Batman vigilante people are talking about.
They showed the kid and they showed everything.
We don't know if it's going to be an origin story.
They show his parents getting killed.
I don't expect
hold on.
It to be.
Dude, they show the kid with the coffin. Like, it's got to be in there.
Not for the whole movie. Batman's origin will be in the movie. We see it in the trailer.
Yeah.
But Batman's place in this story is post-retirement.
Yeah.
In the trailer, he walks by Robin's costume
and
that is all busted up and says, ha-ha, jokes on you, Batman.
What I'm saying is that, like, him putting on the mask origin type of thing.
No, different from him as a child.
You know?
That'll be a 10-minute flashback.
That's 10 minutes too much.
Yeah.
But they're going
to put a scene in where it has his parents. I'm like, it's like doing an, like... The next Spider-Man movie, I'll have the same reaction. We get to reboot it every time.
Here's what it is. So I think it's cool that that's what Batman's motivation is.
Yes.
And
that's my favorite part.
Secondly, the actual fight between them.
Looks good.
If it's going to take all the nods from the comics that it seems to do, it's going to be a cool fight.
What's your favorite line that Mama Kent tells Superman?
Okay, so if you guys get salt about our personal views on Man of Steel,
I just said two good things. I'm going to say a bad thing, and we're going to move on to the next movie.
Okay, fine.
I have a bad thing.
No, we're going to share in that bad thing for a minute.
It's really simple. It's that the fucking continuation of the paragons of human kindness that are Ma and Pa Kent, who are once again the most important moral compasses in the entire DC universe, telling Clark, hey, you can be the hero and save people.
Or you know what? Fuck it.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. That bus full of kids? I didn't like Clark, those kids. Maybe you should let them die.
Yeah.
Did you find a body, Clark?
Yeah.
Do you know? Did you do something? Yeah. Did you pick something up that you don't know?
You do. So it's just weird.
That line bothers me, but there's a bit in the trailer that actually bugs me more. And it is the shot in which Ma Kent is saying that. It's just, be their hero. It's a shot of Superman flying over a flood scenario of an old lady reaching out to him.
Oh, the Christ.
Like he's a Christ figure.
It's the Christ, yes.
That imagery...
Did you see the first one? You didn't.
No. That imagery is fine. You want to use your Christ imagery for your Superman thing? That kind of makes sense. My problem is that Clark basks in it! He's not saving that lady.
No, he's letting them touch his face when the crowd is reaching.
He's letting that lady reach out to him instead of flying right to the roof, which is
supposed to set up Batman's motivation even more.
Oh yeah,
like, the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. To be fair, you might need to see the full scene. There's context. There might be something cut out.
Maybe.
You don't know.
It could. Yeah.
It does look odd
because Spider-Man doesn't just hold himself in the air and wait for a few seconds. He fucking jumps right to it.
Of him basking in it
is what?
But it fuels Batman.
Yes, because it's horrific.
So, like, yeah, like I said, the one thing here where it's like Batman's fight is based on the flaws of Man of Steel.
Genius, great.
Make that work.
Fantastic.
That's how you make
that. That makes
work.
Me really excited to go watch this.
Now,
and I'll
remember,
watch
the other little
movie.
News that piggybacked off this is that Ben Affleck confirmed to write, direct, and star
his
in
own
a
Batman
standalone. Because that gets me fucking excited. Because
yeah.
Argo.
He can write good movies, that guy.
He's a great director.
Yeah, but
he's a better director than he is an actor.
As far as starring goes, we got to see how Batfleck goes.
Of course.
I don't know yet. I
yeah,
think
that's one of the things
optimistic.
That I have the most faith in as far
yeah.
as this it, movie goes.
His crazy grump face works for me.
I don't doubt his acting ability. I just don't think he looks like Bruce Wayne.
That's fine.
Sure, okay.
I get that Val Kilmer vibe.
I don't know.
No.
Oh, that's fair.
Like,
that's
I
fair.
Don't think, my, even though Michael Keaton, clearly the best Batman...
Are you shitting
nobody's,
on George Clooney?
Nobody's saying nothing.
Yeah, no one can really say anything.
You go shit on George Clooney like that?
Shit on George Clooney. Michael Keaton doesn't look like Bruce Wayne at all, but he was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to say?
The best Batman is...
Christian Bale is the best Bruce Wayne.
I forget his name and I feel fucking...
Yeah, I don't think
I feel like
Batman.
An asshole right now for forgetting his name, but the best Batman is
Adam
animated.
West?
No, it's animated series Batman. Bruce Conner. Bruce Conner.
Doesn't count, really, but...
No, I don't care. He's the best. When my brain says Batman voice... That's who
I don't. Yeah. I don't want to see someone with like a smooth voice and some sarcasm kind of thing. I kind of want something closer to the animated series in general. But anyway,
what I will say is that Alfred's casting is fucking perfect.
Yeah, it's good.
Alfred looks and sounds perfect. The line they keep using the terms good men cruel.
Right,
it's a great line. It's perfectly delivered.
Awesome. So the other thing, there was a leak of a couple other things. They leaked the Suicide Squad
trailer.
We're
in the potato quality era now.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's potatoes.
Well, you know, it's the only way to see them for now.
I did not watch the Suicide Squad.
I watched the Suicide Squad one. It's there. It's a Suicide Squad trailer.
It's all right.
We don't know enough about anything.
Joker looks fine.
Joker looks
non-set.
Like, yeah. The Joker bit is
I can buy it.
Joker.
I can totally buy it. Yeah.
Is he damaged?
It does not actually appear that he is damaged.
MSI Joker is damaged, yes.
Do you know if he's damaged?
I believe... I'm not sure. His parents might have
I'm not familiar with this Joker character.
So I'm all torn up
my memory is so vague from 5 years ago.
We'll see. But I just, you know, I continue to wish that Harley
he's all
Quinn
messed up, you know?
Would put on a goddamn jester hat, but that's just...
Can I ask, did you look at the All in the Family DLC for Arkham Knight?
Yes,
that's the.
Yes, I did.
Did you see the Harley costume in it?
That's your Harley.
She wears
Harley.
It. She straight up wears it through
she's
that DLC.
She's the clown that you like now.
She
Yay.
Looks fantastic.
Yay!
She looks excellent.
Unfortunately, that's now alternate Harley as opposed to default.
It's true.
Harley.
He's right.
Yeah, but it's. I mean, it's there.
I know. I don't
want it anymore.
No, but it's. What I mean is now
it's
when
too
now,
late.
Now like a note, an email went out internally at DC. It's like if you're putting Harley in a book. It's got to look like this.
No, sure.
You know?
Sure.
You go to any con.
I'm just saying you check it out.
People are
cool.
Cosplaying as Harley. They're doing pigtail. Harley.
Yes, just catch up to seven other Batman games before this.
But that was there. Deadpool trailer. Fuck yeah.
Fucking great. X, go and give it to you. Go and give it to you.
Nothing else to say, but Deadpool is going to be...
It was quite good.
I would have liked it
so
if
glad
at least the trailer he turned to the camera and said something, but maybe they're holding that.
That'll back. Be like the final thing.
The X-Men Apocalypse trailer didn't tell you anything.
I saw the poster.
I didn't see that.
It's just a poster. Apocalypse, and it looks amazing.
The poster looks hot.
And it has Egyptian writing all around the sides.
Now granted, that trailer, of all of the other ones, it makes the most sense why they're not going to show that, because there's, like, all of the effect shots are completely unfinished.
Yeah. Exactly.
And
no,
like,
it makes perfect sense.
So, like, people are saying, like, Apocalypse should be larger. He should not be human size. He should be somewhat larger. He should sound robotier and scarier.
You know what?
Etc. It's like, yeah, because apparently Apocalypse's costume makes so much noise that they're going to have to dub him anyway.
Okay.
Well,
so
that's
you know
going to happen. That's only going to happen after Kitty Pryde teleports Wolverine there and alters the weather so he sounds different and uses her shrink ray to make him human sized.
Right.
Because Kitty Pryde can do anything.
She can do
it. I think
I fucking hate that.
What's wrong with that?
In the last movie. You saw it, right?
Yeah, it's good stuff.
The worst!
No, it's great.
They changed the...
She was using Iden to send Wolverine back in time.
I think Apocalypse should be as far beyond mutants as they are beyond us.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, as part of this...
I like how the sizzle reel of that trailer was bald. That was the whole big bang. You know?
Right after I watched that, I went and found like a fucking video of the old cartoon of things that Apocalypse says.
Yeah, that's what that's
okay, funny. Dude. Shit that Apocalypse said in that was amazing.
Go watch me and Matt playing Scrub Lords X-Men, and where half the video is us quoting Apocalypse.
There's the one that like
I am eternal.
It's the one is I am the eternal shore.
Crash against me and be broken.
It's oh my god. It's so amazing.
Nothing but Apocalypse quotes. When that cartoon is dead and buried. Lines live on.
Always remember Apocalypse.
The rock.
Remember the big A on his belt buckle.
So what happened to me was I watched that trailer and then I went back and watched the post credit scene where he showed up and then I was like fuck it and just went nsabernerd.wikia.com
Marvel Wikia. Let me
get through it and that motherfucker can do anything he wants.
What's his powerless?
Anything.
His blood heals mutants.
Just name grow his body into anything.
He's obviously got energy manipulation.
Size.
Time's
too broken.
Nope, no time.
Okay.
That's the other girl.
That's beatable.
He doesn't have Null's power either, so.
Hard to hurt.
Molecule re.
There's a handful of like super OP powers he's missing because
you can't give them all to one
not
person.
Legion,
he's telepathic as well, right?
Tele-everything. Tele-everything.
So, spoiler
theory, anything a mutant can do.
Because he's like the fresh mutant.
So, spoilers for this movie: Jean will beat him.
Yeah. Stanza will beat him.
Stanza Stark.
So then the next movie.
Stanza Stark.
Phoenix she, Saga, you know, okay. she's written musically.
Yeah.
And you know, this one, this next Stark. One is just it's just me talking to the air. But
all right,
I haven't at all watched the Flash show. I don't know anything about it. I hear it's all right, but aimed at kids.
More goofy, more classic sci-fi superhero.
If you're a Flash fan and you watched this trailer they put out. You can't help but mark out just a little bit.
Does he run really fast?
He runs really fast. And then Zoom shows up. And then the voice of Jake Garrick shows up. And then Wally West. And then at the end, they hint at Black Flash. And it's
Black Flash.
Literally
cool.
Everything cool about the Flash is in this next trailer for the upcoming
Are they all
show.
Running really
and
fast?
You're like, oh, they're running really fast.
Okay.
But Zoom, he doesn't run fast. He stops time around him and makes
and
himself go through it at normal speed.
So he's really powerful.
So he's inverted Flash.
Okay, so I get back to me once Flash learns how to do his molecule speed power shit.
He can do it.
Okay, he can do it in this already.
Oh, in the show, I don't know.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's the thing.
Because
absolutely. When you're a speedster, and
there's an episode of Adventures of Lois and Clark in which Superman learned how to do that shit to get through a kryptonite laser grid, and that shit was bananas.
The Flash is the best part of Kingdom Come by a country mile. Mm-hmm. Like it's straight up like there's the whole story. It's like it's not even spoilers because it's ancient at this point.
Yeah.
But there's an observer from another dimension that's watching this whole big crazy DC war unfold. And at one point, Flash JGR just like catches something, vibrates out of our dimension into that one, grabs the guy and brings him back, and goes, "Who the fuck are you?
What are you doing?
What's going? You know, like." There's an explanation of like how everyone's in the future when all the heroes get older, what happens to their cities and what's going on.
Yeah.
And Keystone City, where the Flash is based, there's tales of Keystone City where anytime anything remotely goes wrong, there's a red light that just flashes and all mistakes get fixed. He is on patrol making his city perfect. Uh-huh. That's where the
too
goes.
Much.
He doesn't care about anything else outside of his scene.
He doesn't have any other
But things. Within his borders, there is none. There is
Superman's
no
got Metropolis, so fuck that. It's not my problem.
Well, he fucks off because people make it.
Yeah, but whatever, right?
But yeah, like, yeah, yeah,
I'm going to... This area of the world will be perfect all day, every day.
I am running laps on it every millisecond.
I said a few podcasts ago, Flash is fine, but I always, like, as a kid, I was like, well, you know, the mid-90s, I was like, Impulse is fucking cool.
Impulse.
Because it's the best name.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the fact that his, like, you have Flash, Kid Flash, and whatnot, and then Impulse. And then you have Zoom, Kid Zoom.
And
then
Fast Man.
And the inverse of Impulse is Inertia.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, yeah, all right, you got it.
Inertia's all right.
You did it, you know. Anyway, right. So that's what's cool. And I like the fact, too, as well, that apparently at this year's Comic-Con, I didn't realize this, but they're saying the reason why Marvel kind of laid out a bit was because when Marvel did its big presentation last year, DC laid out and just kind of... They took turns.
I think that's fine because there's so much cross.
There is.
Yeah, they overlap.
But it's also the idea of,
yeah,
like, they're taking turns giving each other a year to do your thing.
Yeah, no, I think
and then we do our thing.
I think that's fine. Plus, a bit, what doesn't count is X-Men, Fox.
Yeah, that
shows their Fantastic Four
exactly.
And X-Men shit and whatever that they're desperately clinging to.
Yeah, yeah. But
where's my Ghost Rider 3 movie?
I think they'd make more money not making Fantastic Four movies.
So yeah, that's
like
that's
Liam's.
That
like, are you saying that in response to like the recent 3D conversion thing?
No.
Okay, so
just in general,
so they're not even going to 3D convert the movie.
Oh,
which is actually a good thing.
Until you realize what it means.
Oh, what it means.
It means there are so the lack of faith in this movie is so extreme that they can't even make their money back on a cheap 3D conversion.
I like some movies maybe not being in 3D because almost all of them that we see nowadays, it's never an option.
Yeah.
But enough about that. We need to get to the story of the week.
Yeah.
Is it the other movie?
Wait, what?
Because you missed
one. Story of the week.
Just
Amazon leaks Criminal Girls 2.
Thank you. Thank you, Wooly. For a second, I was really offended.
For a second.
That you would put anything above our opening story. But this, I must admit, takes the cake.
All right, so what happened, Liam?
Amazon Japan accidentally put up a banner early for Criminal Gores.
That's a different game.
Coming out November 19th in Japan. And I guess it's going to leak in this week's Famitsu on Tuesday, and I'm keen to see it. Of course, Image Epoch shut down. They were the guys who made the original. So...
Did they ever find them?
No. No, they vanished into the ether.
God damn it.
But, so I guess this is probably by Nipponichi Software, but, like, barring, like...
Do you think they can live up to the rich legacy of Criminal Girls?
Well, I was going to say, like, the main flaw with Criminal Girls is, like, the level design is fucking atrocious.
Yeah, that's
and
the
so
main
it's
flaw.
Like, if they can fix the level design, it'll be a good game.
And they decreep it up, like, 10%.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe they will. Who knows?
Maybe they disappear to become criminals to do some research.
Yeah.
Maybe it's possible.
No.
You totally forgot a movie in there.
Batman v Superman, Star Wars, Deadpool, Suicide Squad, X-Men.
You were watching it when I came in here.
Oh, well, oh yeah, yeah, that's part of it. I put it later on the docket, but...
Oh, it's not a
movie, it's a TV show.
It's a TV show?
Yeah.
Ash versus Evil Dead.
Are you for real?
Yeah.
Ash versus the Evil Dead is a TV show.
Oh my god, this is so much better. This is so much better.
That's not a movie, that's not
Holy
a movie.
Shit! Holy shit!
But yeah, I'm kind of excited, because I did like the first game.
Cool,
and, I hope the second game can be even better.
I'm glad you endorse.
It's you know, everyone says Neptunia, but Neptunia is not as good.
I don't think everyone says Neptunia.
But that's the general go-to, and it's like, oh, Neptunia is the... No, this one's the...
Yeah, you know what?
This
yeah.
one's the good weeb one, that one's the bad weeb
okay,
one.
Okay, you're talking about
the
your
ultimate
culture.
Reboots, which
your click.
If you like Evil Dead 2 or Army of Darkness, I'm not going to ask about the first movie, because we don't do that.
Sam Raimi just swears off the first movie.
Go check out Ash vs. Evil Dead.
It's pretty much Evil Dead.
It's
down
hilarious.
To a
T. It's Bruce Campbell is the best.
It's everything we want.
And this is separate. They're going to continue making gory, non-Bruce Campbell movies based on Evil Dead, because the first remake was successful, and general people liked it. They're like, it's not Evil Dead, but it's a cool, gory movie.
Just don't give it the name.
When I heard about Ash vs. Evil Dead originally, when that was the only thing that existed was the name, I immediately wrote it off, because I'm like, well, it's not what I want. What I want is Bruce Campbell having dumb adventures. Oh my god, it's going to be Bruce Campbell having dumb adventures!
In fact, it's nothing but...
And Lucy Lawless... Don't forget. Yeah. Never forget.
Yeah. Bruce Campbell looks great.
I'm your new best friend.
They clearly fucking did a bunch of shit to make him not look like he actually does, but that's fine.
He lost a lot of weight.
Whatchamacallit, and speaking of conventions, I guess, you know, in the shock of the century, Microsoft is skipping TGS 2015.
Shock. Shocking news.
Hey, we have nothing to show you.
So maybe one game. For people who are wondering, for the past few years, they've had a massive booth at TGS for quite a while, actually, going back to 360. So it's actually kind of interesting. Yeah. Like, obviously they're at their, like, worst sales year ever in Japan, but, like, for real, they were one of the biggest people, like, payers in Japan for TGS, so.
It was always baffling that they went.
Well, here's the thing.
They did. And they went in as big a fashion as they possibly could every year.
Very American.
Currently, Microsoft is working with a bunch of Japanese companies, right? You've got Inafune, you've got Platinum.
Yeah. Let's call it a handful.
You've got Mages.
Who are the guys who make make Raiden?
I guess.
Who are the guys who make Raiden?
Yes.
You know the Shmup series?
Yes.
Raiden exactly. 5, yep. I think, is on Xbone.
But they're making all of these games for us and not for themselves.
Yeah.
it's a bit odd.
So, I don't know. It's a shame. You know, in an ideal world, everyone could be successful everywhere.
But, in an ideal world, people in Japan would not just, like, laugh themselves to death at the sight of an Xbox. Yeah. But at the same time, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's doing fucking, like, abysmal.
Laughter was when we went 360. Exactly.
Yeah, now it's not even laughter. It's like, what is that thing?
I even forgot.
Now it's poking with a stick.
Like, 360 wasn't even doing okay after,
like,
after 360's initial, like, volley of JRPG exclusive, Tales of Vesperia.
They got a little bump here and there.
Lost Odyssey Blue Dragon. Like, after that, it kind of, like, dove a lot.
It's but never
like,
come
Xbox
back.
One is at, like, a level that the 360 never touched. Like,
yeah, the Xbox One wish it could be failing the same way the 360 did.
Yeah.
No, I have to work hard to be a failure.
It's really bad. Yeah. No, but like it's worse than the Vita in North America.
Yeah,
like
there's your comparison.
It is hideous,
and he would know. He has Vitas in North America, and he plays it.
Yeah.
A couple of quick game announcements: Super Impossible Road is coming to PS4. That game looks amazing.
What is that exactly?
I don't know.
That is the game where imagine if. Jumping off of Rainbow Road to land back on Rainbow Road was an entire game.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it's procedural tracks where you drive a fast sphere amazing. Down
That's
the track.
Super Impossible Road?
Impossible Road. I have no problem confirming that this will be a drift immediately.
Yeah.
Yes.
Upon release. For anyone who's familiar with the iOS or Android release, this is an improved one with multiplayer, bigger levels, etc.
Great.
The iOS Android one is good, but this is the real
super
deal.
Good. Yeah. What else we got?
We got Mirror's Edge Catalyst Woolly Edition.
It's got
it comes with two statues of Faith.
That statue
for the price
is weird.
Of one.
It's like the same thing as Max Payne. Oh, Faith, huh? She's gonna have her sitting.
It's making me happy.
Sure, but why can't she be her arm and her foot attached to the side of a building and have her in this dynamic pose?
You're crazy, right?
You're
crazy, right? But there's no physical faith anything.
Does it?
No, I know.
But you're right.
This game's about Faith's transformation.
Does it come with a temporary eye tattoo?
It comes with a temporary eye tattoo.
Wait, are you serious?
Yes.
It does.
Are you serious? Like,
100%.
Yes. Wow, okay. Fuck
it. It also comes with an arm.
I thought you were like.
Comes with an arm tattoo as well.
Are you. Okay, wow.
I thought you were just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
I was just throwing that out there.
I thought you knew.
I was making a goofy joke.
Here's this crow. Do eat.
All right.
Sup.
Yeah. Fine. I'm
Sup
happy
on
with
this
that.
Crow's
Dude,
butt.
Whenever I'm like, oh, that'd be really dumb. And
it's
it ends
awesome.
Up, and it ends up being the case. I'm always happy.
Yeah. Are you going to use them for our video?
Are you kidding me?
I'm using them
Just
right
I know
now.
Some people don't
Who
like using that kind of stuff.
Who
so.
Am I?
You're you.
I'm going to use it on my first copy, and then my second copy will be for keeps.
We need to videotape you putting the tattoo on, and I hope you miss and get it on your eyeball.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're going to have multiple opportunities, because I'm going to rock that for a while.
All right.
As long as a temporary tattoo
comes. I'm never going to wash my face ever again.
Mom, make Wooly wash his face.
No.
No, the face controls me.
It's great. It's great. Temporary tattoos don't work on black people.
I was, you know what, I was like waiting. I was waiting for like that to like,
I bet
you peel it and it just doesn't stick.
Yeah. I bet you it's because, like, EA marketing guys like, shit, hey, this doesn't work on black people. It's like, what type of black person would buy Mirror's Edge? That's nuts.
Anyway,
the demographic stats just don't add up,
sir.
This is a white people game.
We've got the next UbiArt Engine game announced.
Gravity Falls.
This game is for white people only?
Yeah.
Is
that like what? Yeah.
Now, no. Hold on. Better with Kinect.
Yeah, exactly. There it is.
People.
All right. You got Gravity Falls 3DS, UbiArt.
What a smart idea to use the UbiArt engine for things that can totally use it.
Yeah, certainly.
It's a smart idea. The only bummer for me is, like, I wish it wasn't only on the 3DS, because... No. Don't roll your eyes. I wish it was on consoles, or Vita, or anything, because the art quality that UbiArt is known for
will be diminished on the 240p
severely.
Screen.
Which kids that watch Gravity Falls don't care about?
My
I
bummer.
I can see the art nice.
If kids don't care, then just give them the shit art.
You're not the demographic.
No, my bummer, if anything, is just that from what I have seen of the few little things of Gravity Falls I caught in the States, that seems like a game that would probably be better off being like an adventure game, you know? Or something a bit more like conversational.
I don't know if you knew this, but like kids are stupid.
Yeah, but if they're playing what amounts to an episode of the show, that's fun.
Yeah, they're too dumb to figure out.
If it's a failure, which
a fun platformer is fine.
They'll port it to other things.
Yeah.
It's fine
because the UbiArt engine works like that.
It should. Yeah,
but you know, you can when your source material allows you to do more, it's nice when you
approach
it at the maximum you can.
I hope they can do it justice for fans of the show, because it is being made by Ubisoft Shanghai, so...
Which are inconsistent.
They last delivered the wonderful Smurfs game.
I didn't even know there was a Smurfs game.
And they said that the Smurfs creators are working with the team, but nowadays that doesn't even
mean anything.
No, it means nothing. I don't think it ever did mean anything.
I know, but I remember when I thought it did.
Yeah, that was a better time.
You know, when it was like, oh yeah, it's not.
We're working with the original writers of this book when we're adapting the movie. It's like, yeah, you told.
Because, like, if they announced the new Prince of Persia was only on the 3DS, it'd be like, what the fuck? That's stupid.
It'd be weird.
But, like, when it's a kid's, like, Adventure Time was 3DS only.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Well, yeah, well,
it's just because it's on UbiArt, that's all. If it was a Ubisoft platformer and they didn't mention the word UbiArt, it wouldn't even bother me.
Fantasy Star Online 2 announced as an anime.
I literally said this maybe 20 minutes
ago. Yeah, but he's saying it again.
It's okay, it's fine.
No one heard you.
It's fine. I hope it's better than the Valkyria Chronicles anime, because that show sucks.
Is that Chess Thiefy? Is that why it sucks?
No, it just sucks.
Oh, that's the worst.
It's just a bad adaptation of a great game.
Zach, shut the fuck up!
Hey, if you want Chess Beefers, go play Dengeki Bunko.
Really, Chess Beefers?
And she's really good.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm excited to see how they do an MMO story, and if they play it like it's an MMO, or like it's just they live in that world.
Trapped in an MMO?
Yeah. Well, which are they going to go with?
Yeah.
Is it a game, or is it the real life?
It's the real story, yeah.
So I'm curious.
I like the world of Phantasy Star, so I'm keen on that.
And then we have the, you know, new Transformers Devastation trailer.
Looks great.
Looks solid. Looks like a platinum game. What do you
say? It's way better than the initial trailer that Baylor showed.
And we have ultimate confirmation that Platinum wants to make a fucking Berserk Kill the Kill game.
That was next.
Yeah.
It's really
platinum
weird that
Saito.
That they literally, like, JP literally said, we'll never make this,
fuck,
I hate
no.
it.
No, he just said he doesn't like it.
He doesn't like it.
It's just weird to have two statements from a company that say the exact opposite.
Well, I guess the takeaway from this is don't listen to JP about
attention,
about
Star Fox idiots. Go away. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Attention, Star Fox idiots.
I love you.
I love you, yeah.
That's
true.
I saw that, dude, and dude, we had the brief discussion, and I'm glad we worked it out.
So Pat, where are you at on this?
What do you mean, where am I at?
If you could pick
which
one
game
of those,
do you want them to make?
Are you for real? It's Berserk by a million billion percent,
so
without
I,
question.
I said that,
you're
and
wrong.
I was told
it's
I was wrong.
Answer. It's the wrong answer.
That's the wrong game.
Both are extremely hype. Make no mistake, Berserk is super cool.
The difference between them is you can make a Berserk game 5 years from now.
Kill la Kill is now or never.
And they're right.
Kill la Kill could suffer the same fate as Gurren Lagann.
It's gone.
If it doesn't get it now.
It's not gonna. If it doesn't get a game within the next 2 years,
it's
not going to.
Window of opportunity is closing.
Berserk's window is widening as the mega starts again.
Berserk's window is gaping open.
Yeah, exactly.
The way is being lost. There's no opportunity.
And
yeah.
Plus, they did
the
have the point that there's already two solid Berserk games.
I don't.
They let, like, Berserk has two games out and they're fine. We all want an amazing Berserk game, but let a thing that's not.
If you count Dragon's Dogma,
anything,
if you count Dragon's Dogma, Berserk has three games.
But
yeah,
exactly.
We all like it, but just let a new thing get a chance.
I
just new.
You're right.
Yeah, that's what I said. They're right.
You're right,
and that's the end of that.
Okay,
you know.
But
so
a Berserk game would be better.
You're right, Bully.
There's more stuff,
Liam,
in Berserk.
You're right. I don't care!
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care more than I've never cared about nothing! Okay? Because,
but
yes,
you didn't.
Kill la Kill might miss its shot, but if the Kill la Kill game comes out, and maybe the Berserk game just never came through because of the timing or whatever, I'm gonna kill you!
Dude, there will be another Berserk game.
But we'll plan to make it!
Berserk has
no,
last
no, you
power for
you forgot a point.
Lifetime.
You forgot a point that this isn't even the perfect developer for Berserk.
It's not. Berserk is FromSoft.
Yeah, you're right.
Kill la Kill is Platinum.
You're right.
Yeah.
And also, Miyazaki in the Dark Souls 3 stuff has just explicitly stated, yeah, I decided to make this one even more like Berserk, which
just
is great.
Just make Berserk!
Just calm your
it's
boner
not
down.
His power. Specifically, Miura
just,
doesn't like him.
Just like lobby for Berserk.
Like you're hearing cool words, you're getting hard, but no,
Matt,
it needs to make more sense.
If you go back and play Demon Souls, then you will get a lot of Berserk.
I know, but it, you know, you just like you.
It's the Berserkiest.
It has to be Guts.
It has to be Serpico. It has to be Farnese. It has to be Shirk. It has to be what the fuck is that stupid kid? What's that stupid kid with the fire?
Shiro.
Shiro.
Shidro.
Shiro.
Fire kid.
Fuck that kid. Who cares about him?
That kid's fine.
But you need it.
Farnese and Serpico all day, every day on that boat.
No, I agree. I want a Kill la Kill action game to happen. It's got the right setup for a really high
Platinum's music technology is literally perfect for Kill la Kill.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That being
beat
said,
that chump
Berserk.
Back down. There's a better answer.
Team Berserk.
I'll beat your chub back down. There's a better answer.
We need a sensible... You sensible erections here. Not fucking...
No.
You can't be just... You can't just be getting erections
okay.
left and right.
Sensible erections are coward erections.
All right, fine. Kill la Kill on mobile, Berserk on consoles. How about that?
If it's made by Platinum, I don't, as long as it's good.
Yeah,
like,
touch controls are never going to be as good.
I know. And so,
no,
yeah.
Don't ship it.
But,
Kill la Kill would be perfect for touch controls.
I'd love it. Would not.
So that you can lose your way on the transformation with the boobs. There, I did it.
Yeah,
I solved the problem.
Koji Pro is disbanded. Confirmed from Snake himself, Akio Otsuka.
Well, there's no walking this back.
Mm-hmm.
They're fucked.
Well, but he didn't specifically say Kojima Productions.
No, it's come on.
He said Koji Pro.
No, come on.
But we already know that they're shutting down at the end of the year, so it's like a non thing.
What was Decoy Octopus up to? You don't know.
When? What time period in which he was not up to something? Because I could probably we can answer this.
Because that's the other theory. The Decoy Octopus theory. Shut up! Shut your mouth!
Shut up, Willie. You used to be those people.
Yeah.
But
now
that it's making David Hayter sad,
now
shut up.
No, doing more. Anyway.
hurt me more.
I'm baffled at the language used as being disbanded, I would have thought that team would have stayed together and gone somewhere else instead of splitting up.
They were specifically shipped to different ends of Japan.
So you'll never be able to recreate.
Disbanded means that the team break apart.
No, the studio just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, no, technically that's what it means.
Like, they're all still working on MGS5.
Yeah.
Until it ships and the patches are done and the post, like...
And the liner notes on this are...
I think DLC would
the other day,
be
you know,
with someone else,
like,
if anything, though.
Who knows, that's but really patches and stuff.
Aggression level is support. Sensor Angry Joe from MGO. Kojima Questions.
Oh, yeah!
You know, so, like...
What is going on?
And he still tried to say
of
it.
Of course
said, no.
He did! Everyone would!
Well, I mean...
So, you know...
And then it's like, I'm not going to answer your question until you...
Threat level...
Remove
threat
the
level
name.
Orange.
Alert.
Like, what is the fuck?
It really sucks for all the Konami employees who care about video
games.
Yeah,
and, like, you can't say the man's name ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Ever. Like, why? Shut up. What the fuck? You can't say the man's name?
Yeah.
He's Voldemort
no,
now?
We just, no, someone sent a snake eraser back in this timeline to get rid of all traces of Kojima. He's fucking Skynet.
There you go. Konami Cyber felt bad about it the whole time.
Yeah,
though.
It felt bad. That they killed him.
It's probably all a work.
I cannot wait
until... Every mention of Kojima gets turned into Lalilulelo.
I cannot wait for the day after MGS5 ships and Kojima goes back to Twitter or whatever the fuck the contract or deal he's on lets him come back to Twitter and just, like, fucking, hey, guys, what's up? I'm back. I'm doing whatever.
God, that's not going to be
that will be a happy day.
Like, cut to Kojima lowering himself into the lava.
You just...
You can only do this once, then you have to buy a new Kojima.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or either that or just, like, the day after it ships, it's like, Kojima's on Reddit, AMA. Or Kojima live Twitch streaming now.
That'd be amazing.
You know...
Yeah, and you get there, and it's a sunglasses sitting on top of a leather jacket, and it's like, ha, I fooled you.
And it just says, I'm okay.
I'm actually over here.
I'm okay.
I'm not okay. His first tweet when he gets back is, I'm not okay.
That's sad.
And last, but certainly not least, 50 Cent is bankrupt.
What?
Wow. I don't know.
That
how.
Motherfucker was the richest guy.
So he has filed for bankruptcy.
Which is exactly. So I'm like, after getting out the hyperbole, he's filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
That's different.
And quite simply, it's when you...
Did he not pay his fucking taxes?
No, it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, look, when you're rich and you realize that the most profitable move to make is to file for bankruptcy.
I don't understand
you make
what that means.
Move so that you don't become poor, which is normal.
It helps you get out of shit situations financially.
I don't know how you get into such shit financially.
Like,
it's because
you be a rapper who's rich.
It's Pat. It's because his
every
grandma
time.
Didn't pay him for all the times he took out the trash.
Yeah, I guess. I don't get
so
it.
So we're going to have to
if
start
you have
week of
$50 million. How bad is your decision making process that you end up with
$0
excessively?
I guess.
All the money is necessary.
Or
now.
You don't pay your taxes.
Or you don't pay your taxes, but that's different. That's Blade going to jail. I mean, that's
apparently his taxes money is like his money just goes straight to the IRS first, and then they send him
what he gets now. Yeah. That's what happens when you run,
Wesley. You cannot be trusted.
That's
with
what
your
happens
money.
When you try to ice skate uphill.
Yeah.
Can't do
you
it.
See that Marvel spoke to Wesley Snipes about possibly doing a new Blade thing, even if he's not in it.
While announcing that there possibly is going to be a female Blade.
That they like, even if he's not the main character, even if he's not
Blade,
they wanted to get Wesley Snipes' blessing for the new Blade. Which
and he's like, motherfucker, no, give me work.
I need money. The IRS.
My blessing doesn't give me
they got
money.
Gotta eat, man.
Gotta eat.
Bring Triple H back. It was fun working with him.
Yeah.
Gave him a metal nose.
Yeah.
That was a smart move.
Mm.
La Magra's revenge.
Always with La Magra with you.
I love La Magra.
It's because you used to worship him yourself.
because
in Grenada.
like Deacon Frost is an understated villain.
Yeah, he is.
He really is. If you want to get hype and tell us about how cool Deacon Frost is.
I think Novak's way cooler than Deacon Frost.
Send a letter
nah,
to...
Deacon Frost way cooler.
I like Novak. I like the
super
split
best friend
thing.
Cast at
yeah,
gmail.com.
But everyone had that.
Yeah, I guess. It's superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
We can say that because we don't have creepy vampire split mouths.
Well, not yet.
Not yet.
And if I like your letter, then I'm going to put on my iPod 2s and then read your letter a little something like this.
What?
It's always great when you don't actually have the thing loaded up and it takes you like 8 seconds to get it.
Because the shitty laptop is getting old and slow and it takes a second to maximize.
Okay.
We got one coming in from Nesto.
Yo, Nesto, what's up, Bo?
Hey, Nesto.
Oh, sorry, he says call me York.
Okay. Hey, York, what's up?
That's confusing, Nesto.
Nesto Yorko.
Hey, Lord of Scrubs, I'd like to ask how it feels, okay, now that you guys are at episode 101.
Yeah.
Woo!
Hey, that's really cool. Congratulations, whatever. Capcom suddenly starts selling a Mega Man collection with Mighty No. 9 coming out soon. Do you feel like they're being opportunistic bastards?
Is it the same time frame?
It's, similar.
Oh,
that's coming out in September.
Same month?
That's coming out in September, Mighty No. 9, and the collection, I don't know, but I don't think it's opportunistic.
I think
Mega
either.
Man's coming back.
Not coming back, but...
Like, you know, in the same way that, like, you know, DMC came out and then Special Edition came after. Like, just when things are happening, they're happening. I don't see that.
I don't think they're being opportunistic.
I think Guitar Hero coming back on the heels of Rock Band is some fucking shit.
No, it's not. Talked about that. Come on.
You're right.
They've been in production for
years. You're right. Bobby Kotick's fair. And, you know,
they were in production for years.
You're right.
Capcom has more of a thing to be opportunistic with a bare bones collection.
Forget
that gets thrown out.
Okay, I'm right there with you. Reggie did throw that Smash Brothers match.
Yeah,
he did throw it. He threw it for fun, and then he told Bobby Kotick to fake production records for Guitar Hero to make you look stupid.
Trance wants to know. Howdy, Ultra Good Buddy Conglomerate.
That's us.
What's the criteria for judging whether a fighter falls into the Saturday Morning Scrub Wars or FNF?
I got this
same
question. We're exactly on my Twitter today.
What games do you think walk
the line? We never clearly stated what exactly
if it's
criteria.
A good fighter, it goes on FNF.
If it's not, it
goes on SNS.
It doesn't necessarily have to be poverty, but it's like,
if it's too close to it, if it's pretty shit.
Or if the game is incredibly goofy. It could actually be good, but if
like,
it's a goofy
if we're laughing at it versus if we're getting hype at it.
Yeah. There's your line.
And sometimes you get both.
And the game that I think
The
game that I think walks the line would be something like Battle Fantasia.
Yeah. It's right there. There in the middle.
Yeah. But I guess it's just like how smooth does the game feel as a fighting game? Honestly, how good does it feel as a fighting game?
What's the mouthfeel?
You know, we've had games before that we've played, I won't name it yet because the episode hasn't gone up, where like there's laughably low hit stun and recovery to your animations, and like, you know, just stuff that makes a bad field fighting.
And the game's like trash, objectively.
But we laugh more than, it was a great video. That more than Yatagarasu, which was just pure focus and hype.
Yeah.
And I think might as well talk about the comment we saw that encapsulates everything.
Oh yeah, I love this comment.
Where someone,
because both people are right.
They're both right.
Yeah.
Someone on the Yatagarasu episode said, I really can't get into these episodes with Friday Night Fisticuffs because I'm just not into fighters.
And that's
so.
Fair.
And we barely speak.
Yeah. So it's like after 20 minutes of watching them play and just go, oh shit, it's just not interesting to me.
Yeah.
And then the reply was, no way, I'm the complete opposite.
Because they know fighting games.
I love fighters and this is super exciting for me. Whereas the other guy was like, I like laughing at bad fighting games on Scrublords because
I can get
board with that. And it's
very similar to something that I saw somewhere. I don't remember what it was, but it was about the podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's somebody that was bummed out when we go nuts about fighting games for 40 minutes because they don't know shit. Like they're just like, I don't get it. And so me and you and you guys will all talk about like, oh man, Ken's got the new run move on his trigger and he can FADC cancel into his shit and he can do this, and they're going like, I don't fucking know what you're talking about. And that's a bummer. And I thought about that because, like, that is a bummer, right?
Yeah.
But then I think back to, there was a Giant Beastcast episode in which Jason Hostriker was explaining to the guys from New York, from Giant Bomb East, like, hey, I played Street Fighter V at E3.
Yeah.
And have you listened to that?
No, but I know what you're going to say.
And Vinny?
Because I remember the Street Fighter 4 version of this.
I love Vinny. He's my favorite guy of all those dudes. But, like, Vinny and those guys, since they don't know anything about fight, like, total novices,
yeah.
Jason got to tell them that Charlie, sorry, Nash and Chun-Li and Bison and Ryu were in the game. He got to briefly explain V-Trigger for maybe a minute.
Mm-hmm. Barely anything.
Barely, and got to say that he really liked it, and that conversation lasted almost a half hour. Mm. Like, you, like if we had to slow down and explain every bit of nomenclature as we went through a fighting game discussion, you would get nothing. You would get actually no discussion
and,
at all.
And ultimately, I kind of think what it sort of comes down to, too, is that, like, you know, part of what this podcast is the shit that we're excited about.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, we're doing, we have a docket and we have a plan, but ultimately we're just talking about shit.
So what fighting games need is a dictionary.
Yeah.
Like a straight-up thesaurus.
And as helpful as that could be, there's the people that will just not do that legwork.
Yeah, but
like,
some people want to. No. And currently the effort required is too high.
Yeah.
So when you say, you just said, like, you know, what goes in the scrub wars, poverty games. Like, I didn't know what that meant until a month ago.
Okay.
Well, I don't even think poverty is accurate.
Sure, but I'm just talking about the language here.
Bad fighting games is the word to say.
You know, there's Kusoge, there's, you know, it's like, what's a mix-up? What's a rushdown? What's a, you know, a turtle?
Sure. Because the person that's listening to that and doesn't know what a mix-up or a rushdown is might still be the person that knows what drawing aggro and tanks and all that.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly. No, because, and that's it. Like, dude, when you go off on FF14, some people are in, some people are out.
And that's why I've been trying to cut it down.
But some people are in.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, but all of those people are in and playing with me when I go home.
That's true, too.
I don't need to tell them about it on the podcast.
That's exactly true. But just the show, I feel like that's something where these types of shows, it's like, yeah, it's going to be a part of it. You know what I mean? Like, if it's exciting and it's fun, we're going to have fun with it. But that explains every video on the channel.
If we're either
having fun with it or fucking
or dying.
Defying.
If you're that person who's frustrated about fighting game lingo, you should start playing fighting games. They're good.
I don't think it's the lingo. I think it's just the intense matches. They're not seeing.
I'm specifically talking about the podcast like language issue.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but there's
that problem that can't be fixed. The one you're describing with the tone of shit versus non-shit,
of course.
There's no fixing that,
because
that's
it's
just
fair.
Takes.
Because if you're not into it, you're not into it.
And if you're not into that, like, there's a bunch of people that love fighting games that don't want to fucking watch shit matches of Super Fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't
right?
know.
But, you know,
it's hotly debated.
We're all Venn diagrams, and it's not a consistent
And then there's the tourney players that are like, when are we going to get the money matches for Jackie Chan Fists of Fire?
Yeah,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Like, it's all fucking nice. When are we going to get money matches on Super Fighter?
Super Fighter.
We get some money matches on Yada.
You know what? Set a date.
Gabroid says, if you could do an LP with a celebrity or VA, who would it be and what game would you play? I feel like we've answered this before. Because I remember saying Gilbert Gottfried and How to Pull Boyfriend already.
Yeah.
That was a podcast title,
if I recall.
It was, so that's my answer.
I'd play something fun with my best friend Takahata.
You mean my best friend Takahata?
They're doing it again. You can't have him.
I met him first.
I met him best. I met him most.
I don't know.
Celebrities, huh?
I don't know, yeah. Because it's like, I don't know them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know
like,
if I get along well.
It could only be a celebrity that you actually know loves that thing.
Why would you
pull in fucking Michael Caine and
like
say, play this
like
fucking bird?
Like, if I said a wrestler, right?
Yeah.
If I said a wrestler, like, I don't want the person. I want the character.
You want the character.
You
want your perception of them.
Yeah.
Like, play Goldust Adventures with Goldust.
Yeah.
With Dusty Rhodes.
Dude, I don't know.
With the Dustin Rhodes.
Because it's like, even if you were to pick someone in the game industry who you think you have a good idea of their tastes and stuff, you still don't know them.
Yeah. You know what? I play a Spider-Man game with CM Punk because he loves superheroes and comics. So there you go.
It's like, it's a lot of the people that I pick are like, it's going to be a little tough considering they don't speak English.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, Kamiya with anything! Like,
well, Kamiya and his translator.
Yeah, but that's shit for an LP. His LP of Bayonetta 1 is awesome.
But, like, again, he might not even like you.
Yeah, he must. He might.
He probably hates me after
that fucking
that
shit that Matt pulled.
Why would he hate you?
Because
I didn't do anything.
You fucking Yeah, I don't know. I'm not good at this kind of thing.
Hey, man, I got the retweet. I'm good.
Like, you could get Sweary to do something.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Sweary. Because
he likes
us. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And we like him.
I'd sit and play a game of Last Leader, too. you scoff like it's not one of the best fighting games ever.
No, but I just love how you're like, I don't care about this man, but I love the fact that
I don't care about him and his work is shit.
I am so in on fucking Last Blade and have been for years.
That's fair enough.
Then you'll ignore how much you hate Deadly Premonition.
I'm not into Twin
Peaks. Did you play D4 yet?
No, that's not why you hate Deadly Premonition. Don't try and pull that shit. Yeah. You hate everything about Deadly Premonition.
Any other questions?
And you're not wrong.
What, Tin Can wants to know what your favorite vehicle in a video game is.
A vehicle? Oh.
The train in Tormentum.
Train in Tormentum?
The metal train in Tormentum.
Aggro.
Aggro is pretty good.
The Slave One in the Rogue Squadron games.
The Epoch.
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 From
CT.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, fucking...
Yeah, Slave... I like Slave One, but I don't know what else.
I'm gonna say the Chocobo period.
I also really, really enjoyed Platinum Robo a lot.
Yeah, but...
I guess.
Like, what's that word that Wikipedia uses when...
If we're gonna go there.
What's that word that Wikipedia uses when one title or word can mean, like, 30 different things? Is it disambiguation?
Yeah.
Okay, mine is chocobo disambiguation.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. Like, all variants of chocobo through time.
Metal Gear Rex.
These are not vehicles.
How is it not a vehicle?
Because its primary function is not to get from...
It's not transportation.
We're all fucking this up. That's cheating. Aggro's perfect, because horses exist to move.
You can pet it.
I could pet that horse.
I mean, the train is like, you get on it, but it's really just a transition.
To be fair, the train is like a level more than a picture rather than a vehicle.
But it's so fucking cool.
It's fucking cool. The train in Lost Planet 2 is pretty amazing. That is the level where you determine if you're a real Lost Planeteer or not. Best.
I'm gonna move on because I don't want to engage with somebody who said Lost Planeteer.
You haven't played Lost Planet enough. That's all.
What's coming up on the site?
We have nothing. A brand new mystery box with a special guest coming up this week.
That's true.
Yeah. We have our
Astro Boy continues to shock and amaze.
That game and is awesome.
We
are deep in.
We
Astro
are
Boy.
So deep in, and like, and we thought we hit the bottom,
but the bottom just gave way to another top.
It's
really
good.
The story continues to either intrigue or enrage.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
Mostly intrigue.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody and had the pleasure of having the exchange of, hey, so you guys must be almost done with Ride to Hell. I'm like, no, we're not.
You're not?
We are.
There's more?
We are, though.
But you're not.
No, but there is more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not much more.
Well, consider one more session's worth.
Yes,
that's too much.
And
that last level, man. Ooh.
When are you doing the Evil Within DLC?
Anyway,
not you.
When
too.
Are you gonna play Rocket League?
Yeah.
When are we gonna play Rocket League?
We're gonna play that.
That's a good question.
But you know what? We did it. We already recorded it the day it came out.
Yeah, I was talking to Leo when we came.
I can't believe how much that came in.
We already. I didn't expect a lot of people to be in. I didn't know because I love the first one.
Yeah,
it's
like I was talking to Liam slightly earlier. It's like you got to make those preview pictures so I can put that up.
The only thing is, we're idiots.
Yeah.
And we didn't play any of the split screen.
Yeah. Well, so I told you there was, and you said. No.
But we had a blast talking.
It is a lot of fun.
It's a fucking treat.
Making fun of soccer.
Making fun of Greece.
Yeah, making fun of Greece and soccer.
That's the thing to do.
Yeah. And,
that's the high ground.
It's timely.
Hopefully time permits, but me, Pat, and Liam should have a look at a game. Hopefully it'll go up.
In the near future.
No, today.
Oh, today?
Yeah. Tuesday.
Tuesday. That's
hopefully
correct.
Tonight at 9.
So, Mike, tomorrow.
But it is a bit of a rush schedule, so who knows.
Yeah. So maybe not, but hopefully.
If it's the end of the world, Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
Or Wednesday, 3 o'clock.
You know, Seattle's just going to fall into the ocean, right?
Yes, soon.
Yeah.
Soon.
Vancouver, too. Although it's an island, so I guess it's tall. Already fell into the ocean?
It used to be a mountain.
Oh god, who
if you live in Richmond,
it?
You're fucked.
Richmond, Virginia?
Yeah, no, Richmond, British Columbia.
Oh, okay.
Because that place is built on a swamp, so any natural disaster will sink the entire city
into the ground.
Was it Burt Reynolds that got into trouble for just hijacking water from a...
something like that.
A fucking hydrant in L.A.?
An illegal water hijack.
And truckloads of water going to his house?
You remember...
Water crime.
Does everybody here remember the movie John Q with Denzel Washington?
Yeah.
Do you remember the climax of that movie in trailers? Like, my son is gonna live, damn it. That's what's happening, but with water. And it's my grass is gonna be green, damn it.
Yeah. What are you looking forward to?
Fantasia Film Festival, like
Convention.
Yeah, geez, that's a big one. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yep. And there's a
I think that's all. And the new Godzilla game comes out today, so
and
I'm gonna
Prime Bravo the week after next week's SGC. And of course, you know, like fucking Evo. However, I'm gonna like glance
when's
at
Evo
it
this year.
It's fucking this weekend, man.
It's this
fucking yeah.
And you know,
we'll watch finals in the hotel.
We'll do it in the hotel. And that'll be it, you know? And
God, how does Evo sneak up on me like this?
And it just, it's like...
What's on the...
I got an email from somebody that just sent me a picture of the bracket search and Wooly no results found.
Aww.
And I'm like, man, like, I've talked about this.
Yeah.
But you have to talk about it every day
for people to actually...
You know what?
If you want
Twitter bot.
To get back into the
Evil I will not be participating in
Evil. I will not get into the Evil game. I gotta disappear from the channel and just play Street Fighter.
You're shit now compared to what you used to be.
I have to quit my job.
And we're all shit compared to what we used to be.
Actually, I went to a tournament the other day. Not that bad.
Oh, yeah, like not as much rubbed off over time?
No, what's more of a problem? It's not that. The problem is the Ultra matchups are just... I'm a couple thousand matchups away from knowing how to
which
fight Lamento, fight Elena,
Luckily, if you guys have been listening to our content and watching our videos and listening to the podcast, you might know that there's a new Street Fighter coming next year.
So soon you can just forget about those guys.
So honestly, fucking forget all that shit. That doesn't matter.
Yeah, sure.
It's the new game time soon, and we will have at least a year of old skills applying the new shit,
but
of noob stomping before everyone catches up.
But playing like with you guys and having fun and just going online and whatnot is never going to be me putting in competitive hours.
No, not at all.
Not with this.
Yeah.
You know, it's just impossible.
I will be playing a lot of that.
And, you know, the next visit to Evo, like...
Maybe next year.
Will likely be as more of a best friends thing instead of, like, as a competitor.
Yeah, the Scrub Lord side tournaments.
You know?
Maybe next year, because depending on how into SF5 I get, maybe I'll give it a shot. I've never given it a shot at Evo, because I've never been. But if I can get past the first seed, if I can get past the first bracket, I will be happy.
Okay.
Just literally don't instantly lose and be eliminated.
Yeah.
Then I can at least know that I'm above some percentage.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, like, well, I mean...
Unless I get fucking paired up with Sanford or Daiko or something.
You get a bye, and then you're against Fudo.
Well, you,
no, not Fudo.
You threw those names out, but those are literally the names I got.
I know. Yeah.
Oh,
that's why I threw them out.
Okay, okay.
I said that because even though you were pretty decent for a while, like you got fucked. There was no escape for you.
I gotta get. For me, I'm like, it doesn't feel right unless I at least make it back to where I was in my pool.
Oh, that's too high a goal. That's,
I need to get back to pool finals. I need to get out of the pool to surpass where I was.
Yeah, that's gonna be rough, man.
But that's
the competition. Will never be fiercer than it will be a year from now.
That's... Actually, that's not necessarily true.
Maybe, yeah, you got a point.
Because 2009, you know? Like
yeah,
2009
was...
The rebaths year.
Was brutal.
You know.
Fight games.
They're coming. And,
how many Street Fighter V Friday Night Fisticuffs are we going to have?
One.
You
two,
can't.
Technically.
You
we
can't
we have
it.
Already internally confirmed two.
Yeah.
So
look, man, every day videos go up at 3 and 9, but if random footage just starts showing up.
No, you know what it is? You know what it is? Every character added gets a fisticuffs.
Look, we got to work out some issues.
No, I'm talking real game, real out.
I know.
Like,
I know, but we were going to have to work out some issues.
1-4.
There's going to be a lot of raw footage.
There will be a lot of raw footage.
Yeah, right. Lots of raw footage.
This footage is really raw.
Anything else on the watch, or no, we're good?
I think I'm good.
Hatoful Boyfriend comes out in 2 weeks, so I'm excited for that. It's got new content.
Okay.
I'm excited to be going down to ConBrad with you guys, and, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just keen on ConBrad.
I'm gonna try and catch a couple movies of Fantasia.
Yep. And I'm gonna finish Steven Universe this week.
Oh!
It's fucking good.
Yeah, the Steven bomb is currently going on. But
should I fucking hop on that?
No, you wouldn't like
It is that I wouldn't like it.
No, you'd love it, dude. It's great.
Oh, you just said...
It's sarcastic.
That you're good at that. I was going to say something else, but it's gone now. Shit.
You should hop on it. Yeah, I think you'll like it.
Shit, it's totally gone. Whatever the fuck I was going to say. Oh, yeah, the Witcher patch that is finally going to fix the fucking game.
Is this the one that says Pat can play it now?
Yes. It is supposed to come out, like, today, tomorrow, the day after.
That's 1.08?
1.07. And you look down the change log, and it's one of the largest, like, RPG patches I've ever seen. It's fucking massive. Including a completely new control scheme. Like, you know...
Yeah, an alternate one.
You know how Geralt, like, you move him, and he
runs like a Euro jank.
And he takes a minute to decide whether or not he's going to run forward? And he runs like a Euro jank. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they finally said we're going
to
put in an alternate control option
that make him feel
is
like a real
probably
person.
Literally going to just be lifted from Witcher 2, like the
Fine.
Way he moved there,
Fine.
Which worked great.
Yeah.
And they said, like, we're not going to change it for everyone. It's an option in the toggle, because if you're 80 hours in, if we force the change on you, you'll get all fucked up. He's like, okay,
yeah.
Fine. Mm-hmm. Fine.
Well, with all that said and done, this week we're going to be going with the outro song dedicated to Iwata, which was a balloon fight. Balloon Trip remix by the original composer who threw this up this morning
on SoundCloud,
which is amazing. So that was super cool. And enjoy. Rest in peace, a lot.
Rest in peace, man.
Hearts out to his family.
Yeah.